Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Basra Daf Chof Gimel. We will be beginning Mirz Hashem at the Mishnah that you will see 11 lines from the top. But before we begin the actual Mishnah, we glance at the side where we have our Nosei topic heading / Mivneh structural note, because as you glance at the Mishnah, you will notice a trapezoid or volcano shape highlighting the word Shovach, and a double underline highlighting the expression Hamishim Amav. On the side, we've noted Shovach, Alpi Tosfos Dibur Masvil Vilho. These are based on the Tosfos. The following is the reason we've marked these. Shnei Mikrim Deboinon Harchokas Shovach Hamishim Amav. There are two cases featured in the Mishnah where we require the distancing of a bird coop, 50 Amos. Number, the first case, besocho yir, if one has a shovach within a city, so he must make sure that there's a distance of 50 amos in all directions away from other people's property, and bein hasados, and likewise, if a person has a shovach in a field, a distance of 50 amos from the neighbor must be maintained. Bipnei hachashash shahayonim mafsidim es azroyim. The fear is that the birds, the yonim that are that house are housed in these coops, will consume seeds. So now we turn to the Mishnah. Marchikim es hashovach min ha'ir chamishim amo. If a person is in a city, and there's a city environment around him, so he has to make sure that the bird coop is maintained at a distance of 50 amas from any neighbor around. V'lo yasodam shovach besoch shelo, and likewise, a person should not set up a bird coop in his own property. Elim kein yeshlo chamishim amo l'chol ruach, unless he has 50 amas in all directions. You can see if you glance quickly at the Tosfos Mirz Hashem, we'll get to it later, but Tosfos says, V'lo yaseh shovach toch shelo, that's berochoik min ho'ir, bein hasodos, ule'itzdrich misni travayu, and both examples are needed. And you'll see the further explanation Mirz Hashem as we get to that later in the Tosfos. But now we turn back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. And here we recommend, as we have been doing so all throughout from the beginning of Masechta, to use the Pirush Chai, the Book of Illustrations, to appreciate this Shita. He says that the distance must be base arbas kurim melo sheger hayona, a distance of 4 kur in all directions, which is the distance that a yona, a bird, will fly in, we'll say, in one shot. V'im lokhu, if someone, let us say, bought a bird coop with the ground around it, then afilu beis rova hare hu becheskoso, even if a very small amount of distance, the amount featured in the Mishnah, beis rova, even if that's the only distance around from the bird coop to the surrounding property, then it's assumed that is based on an arrangement that the seller had made with any other neighbors in the vicinity. So that even though it seems to be very close to neighboring property, it's okay, because you as a purchaser can make the assumption that the one who sold it to you had entered some kind of arrangement. Now, before we continue with the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the Nosei, and we've written Shi'urei Harchoka, distances, the Prisas Nishvin, distances that are required if you want to set up nets or traps to catch birds. The Gemara will speak about that issue, distancing of traps. Now, Mikan HaGemara Takshah. From this discussion, the Gemara will raise questions. Al hashiur chamishim amo shemuska b'mishnah kashiur teufas hayoina. In the Mishnah, we mentioned maintain a distance of 50 amos, and that way you have protected yourself against your birds causing loss to neighbors. In the upcoming discussion, it will appear that birds fly there's a more than 50 amos. So why is the Mishnah saying that 50 amos is enough? And we've highlighted with markings a diamond. You'll notice highlighting the expression Chamishim Amo initially. That's the first diamond. And then we've also highlighted with a double underline the Sulo, 50 amos and not any more. And later we'll see in the course of the discussion another Shiur, Shloshim Ris. Shloshim Ris, we will see, turns out to be 4 mil. And the Gemara will ask, is that all that's necessary? And so we've written, these are kushios, l'shirei, be'inyan shirei tu'ufo shel yoinim hamuvoyim b'makuros tanoyim. As we mentioned, questions concerning distances of bird flight based on Tanaic sources. And each time, the Gemara will be asking, Vesulo, is that all? Isn't there more? So you can see, throughout this Gemara, we'll be starting with the 50 Amma mentioned in our Mishnah, then another distance of Shloshim Ris, which is 4 mil, and then we'll see another distance featured, 100 mil. So now the Gemara. Chamishim Amma Vesulo, are we to assume then from the Mishnah that a bird flies 50 amos and not any further, Viromini? We raise a contradiction from the following source. Ein porsin nishbin liyoinim. One is not allowed to spread out nets to catch birds. Elo in kain hoyo rochuk min ayishuv shloishim ris, unless it's 4 mil. 30 ris is the same as 4 mil. There are 7.5 ris per mil. Unless they're 4 mil, which translates into our terms of approximately 4 kilometers from the community. What's the point? Well, if your nets are within that amount, it might catch birds flying from the other people's birds. And so we see from here that birds will fly 30 ris. Omar Abaye. So in order to resolve these two statistics, Abaye says, Meshet Shaiti Tuva, birds, in fact, fly more than 50 amos. However, ukresayu b'chamishim amso malya, their bellies, kresayu, their stomachs, they fill up within 50 amos. So if your concern is that of your birds damaging, causing loss to neighbors in your birds consuming other people's seeds, it's enough that you keep a distance of 50 amos. A bird will fill itself up within 50 amos. More than that, it will have already reached its full and it won't consume other people's seeds. However, if the issue is catching other people's birds in flight, well, then you've got to be careful. Maintain the distance of 30 ris. Now, the Gemara asks, Umeishit shloishim ris v'sulo, birds fly 30 ris and that's it, v'atanya. The source says, Ubi Yishuv, afilu mea mil lo yifros. And there's a great amount of discussion on this. We'll see later in the Tosfos. So we're going to right now rely more or less on a simplistic translation. And it would mean that Ubi Yishuv means in a settled area, even 100 mil, you shall not set up your nets. What do you see from here? See that birds will fly 100 mil, not just 4 mil or 30 ris, as we said before. Rav Yosef Omar, in response to this question, we have two approaches. Rav Yosef says that this source is talking about Beyishuv Krumim. When the source uses the word Yishuv, it's a reference to a continuum of vines, of vineyards. So that if, let us say, you have a place where you have a settled area, community, where people have birds, and then between that area and where you want to set up your nets, there's a continuum of vines. The birds will travel even 100 mil via the vines. That's a unique case. But if you're dealing with an open area, then as long as you're 30 ris away from anyone else's birds, you can set up your nets. Rava Omar b'yishuv shovachim. You're dealing with a case where there are a lot of bird coops, a continuum of bird coops, let us say, from a particular settlement where people have their own birds until where you are. There's a continuum of shovachim, of bird coops, so you must realize that even the birds will come to your can come to your nets, other people's birds, if even at a distance of 100 mil. The Gemara asks, according to Rabbah's case, why speak about your needing to distance 100 mil from a city because of the intervening shovachim? V'tepukle mishum shovachim gufayu. Is there not a problem that you're setting up of the nets where you are after a continuum of shovachim? You're going to catch birds from other people's coops, and yet from the source it seemed that the whole problem was that you're going to catch birds from some particular settlement that's 100 mil away. But if between that settlement and where you're setting up your nets is a continuum of shovachim, you're going to catch people's birds from the shovachim. The Gemara has three answers why, in order to defend Rabbah, that the shovachim themselves don't present a problem. And the only problem that remains is that your nets, being at 100 mil away from the city with an intervening continuum of shovachim, will enable the birds to come from the city via the shovachim in the interim, and then be caught by your nets. And that's the problem, but not the shovachim themselves. Why not? Eboy same odiday. One approach is that all of those shovachim between the city and where you are setting up your nets, all of those shovachim are yours. There's no problem in catching your own birds, obviously. Eboy same odiknaini. Another approach is that the intervening shovachim are owned by idol worshippers, and we're not concerned if you happen to catch the birds belonging to idol worshippers. Eboy same odhefker. The bird coops spoken of are all unowned. They're abandoned, they're unowned, and hence you're catching birds from them would not be a problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, a quote from the Mishnah, Arbas Kurim. He spoke about a greater area, more than 50 amas, and it went on to say, V'im lokhoi, if you bought bird coops from somebody, and there were neighbors around with their seeds, and they were very close. They were within 50 amas. You don't have to worry. You, as a purchaser, are entitled to keep your bird coops, even though there are surrounding neighbors that are much closer than the required distancing mentioned in the Mishnah. Omar Rav Popo Vitemo Rav Zvid Zois Oimeres. From this particular point taught in the Mishnah, we come to the following conclusion with very broad ramifications, and the conclusion is Toy Anin Leloikeach V'Toy Anin Leyoresh. Before we proceed with the Gemara and trying to understand, or I'm trying to appreciate the questions the Gemara is going to raise, first, let's try to understand what we just said. And that we'll accomplish by looking into the Rashi. So Rashi, a few lines up from here, Toinen l'yorish, v'toinen l'lokech, based in poischin peh, v'taino l'yorish u'lokech. The court will intervene on behalf of a yorish, an heir, or an lokech, a purchaser. What happened? She'irir odom alehem, V'yesh loy edim, man came to challenge an heir or a purchaser concerning the legitimacy of their holding on to property. And this complainer, this ma'arer, has witnesses, shoysa shalo, o shala voisov, that it was either his or that it was his forebears. V'zeh omer, and the opposing party, the heir or the purchaser, says, well, Yorashtiv Me'abo, I inherited this from my father. Oh, Lakachtiv Miploni, or I bought this from so-and-so, Shehusik Bo Yomim Rabim, that was the owner of it that had, let's say, maintained possession of it for a long time. Yomim Rabim, for a long time. Vehevi Edim Shehuchzik Boy Oviv Oy Hamoichelo, and the this party claims, or he brings witnesses that his father or the one that sold it to him had been there on that property for 3 years. And here now is the key point. Afalpi shelo to'an, even though this heir or purchaser did not make the claim, v'hein lokhu mimcha o me'avosecha, that they, either the one that sold it to me or the one from whom I inherited, they did. The claim was not made that they bought it from you or from your forebears. Even though that important claim was not made, that the one I got it from bought it from you or from your forebears, Tayanin lo Beisdin Kain uPoisin lo Peh, the Beisdin will intervene on his behalf and, literally speaking, open up their mouths on behalf of you. Who are we focusing on then when the current, say, claimer is either a purchaser or an heir? Beisdin will intervene with this important point. Now, this is in contrast with the following. Ve'ilu lemishelo yorsha velo loka me'acher. Imagine someone that isn't holding on to property based on the claim of inheritance or I bought it. Shomalo ma'arer, when someone comes to challenge that individual, ma'ato isev esof shili, what are you doing in my property? V'hu omer, and the current possessor says, what do you mean? Hechzakti bo gimul shonim v'lo amru li dover, I've been here for 3 years and no one said anything to me. Tana b'masnisin, it's taught later in the Mishnah, the third parak of this Masechta, the ein lo chazaka. Just because you've been there for 3 years and no one said anything to you, that does not grant you ownership rights. Umasnisin de kotoni, our Mishnah that said, hare hu b'cheskoso, that phrase, ashmu'inon, informs us, dehechot de lokho me'achir, where you bought it from someone else, in this case, someone bought a bird coop from someone else, with a little piece of land under the bird coop. Ubo v'irur aru alav, and others came to challenge the ownership. Ein sorach l'archik, he doesn't have to now distance himself the requisite 50 amos. What do we see from here? Alma. Ta'aninon le b'shvil oisei shelokha mimenu. We intervene, we to'ein, we offer arguments on his behalf by saying, nispayes im svivov. The one that the purchaser bought it from, that we'll call him the seller, he had entered some kind of appeasement agreement with his surroundings, the Mois, by paying them, listen, I have bird coops here, I know they're very close to your properties, my birds might damage your seeds, listen, take this financial compensation and let me stay here. Achinyosu, and the financial agreement was given until they in fact agreed. Now this purchaser doesn't know all of that. Purchaser says, listen, I bought it from someone that had been there with his bird coop for 3 years, and the court will intervene. Oh, okay, and you know what? The guy that you bought it from, it's in all likelihood, he paid off the surrounding neighbors. And all of that is learned from the expression of the Mishnah, Hare Hu V'chezkoso. So to review, we saw in our Gemara, Rav Popa, or some say Rav Zvid, that from our Mishnah, we see this concept of Toyanin on the behalf of a purchaser, or on behalf of an heir. The Gemara now asks, and you can see with our markings, we have a double underline, and this is featured on the side under our Mivneh heading, where we highlight Yoresh or Lokeach Tanina. Loma tzrichim es mishnosenu lamei din taninon kishedin ze kvar mufia b'mekoros achirim. Why do we need our Mishnah to tell us this point of law when it appears in other sources? naturally, it appears then we have a redundancy or seeming repetition of the same point. Why? Now the Gemara. Yoresh Tanina. We learned this concept of Tanina on behalf of an heir from the following other source. Haba Mishum Yerusha Eino Tzorach Taina. One who claims, one who is there because of inheriting the property, he doesn't need to, if his ownership is challenged, he, the heir, doesn't need to issue the otherwise required arguments. Rashi says, Eino Tzorach Taina, Eino Tzorach Lomar, he, this heir, doesn't have to say, Ato Mohartu La'avi, you sold it to my father from whom I inherited it. Ella, it's enough to say, Ra'isi, La'avi, Sheikh Sigbo, Velo Yero, Adam, Olav. I saw my father using the property, probably for 3 years, and no one said anything to my father. So, we see from here that the Yoresh himself doesn't have to issue the argument that the benefactor bought it from you. It's enough that the heir says, I've been here, I inherited this property from my father who was on the property for 3 years. So what do we need our mission to say? Harehu b'cheskoso. The Gemara says, Lokeach itzderichole. I need our Mishnah for the din of Toyanin on behalf of a purchaser. Question, Lokeach nami tanina, but the case of purchaser, we also have learned, it says in the following source, Loka chotzer, ubo zizen uzisrois. Once again, open up your pirush chai to appreciate this. Person bought a courtyard, and the courtyard borders on a courtyard borders on a public thoroughfare. Ubo zizen uzisrois, and there are we'll call them protrusions, balconies, and beams that protrude into a public thoroughfare. Hare ze b'cheskosa. The purchaser of this chotzer does not have to remove the beams. He can continue with his ownership of the chotzer with the beams that appear as they are right now protruding into a public thoroughfare. If we look in the Rashi toward the end of the narrow lines, Loka chotzer obozizin, b'cheskes habatimtan, in the third parak of this mesechta, it's taught, Ein motzi en zizim shrosu shus rabim, one is not allowed to extend the balconies and beams into a public thoroughfare. Odom habayne bayis loyotzi roshe koros tikrosoi l'shus rabim, one who's building a house, and the house has a roof that's built upon beams, they shall not protrude into the public thoroughfare. Aval im roitze, if a person, let's say, wants for some reason to have extending beams from his house, what can he do? Kines binyono l'soich shalo, he withdraws into his own property. The house is built on his privately owned land. So instead of building the house right up adjacent to the public thoroughfare, he withdraws into his own property. Ubone, and builds his house. Umotzi roshe korosov lachutz, and he then extends the beams out from his house. At that point, the beams are extended over his own property. He withdrew into his own property to build the house, so the extended beams are over his own property. If someone bought a chotzer, and there happen to be beams extending from that chotzer, and they're yoytzim lishus rabim, and they appear right now as if they're over a public thoroughfare, hareu b'cheskosa, the purchaser leaves it as it is. Shebeis den toanin lo, and here we've dashed on the main expression. The court intervenes on his behalf. Shal rishon konas l'sof shalo onispais marabim. The one from whom he bought it either had withdrawn into his own property before having the extended beams. So what appears now to be over a public thoroughfare, that section of land actually was once privately owned land. He happened to withdraw into his own land, and the public started to walk over that area. But he legitimately, the seller who set up the property, had built the chutzim with the extended beams, did so legitimately. Or, onus spice rabim, or he had appeased the public. Tosis will elaborate on that later on. He entered some arrangement with the public, enabling him to do so. So what do we see? We see that the court intervenes on behalf of this purchaser. So what do we need our Mishnah for when you have this Tanaic source? We continue now in the Gemara Tzricha. And notice we have a long answer. I need both sources, our Mishnah and the case of the purchaser with beams over public thoroughfare. Our Mishnah deals with a person with his who bought a bird coop in relatively close proximity to neighbors. De'i ashminan hasam gabi rishus harabim. Have we taught that case that we argue on behalf of a purchaser in the case of the beams over a public thoroughfare? Amor, there I can say kines l'sof shalohu. There you have the we'll say that the argument that we saw in the Rashi, who obviously took it from the Gemara, that he the seller had withdrawn into his own property. Inami, another approach. Achuli ochul b'nei rishus harabim gabeid. The public surrendered themselves, or moichel means they were forgiving on their rights to the benefit of this chotzer owner, or let's say the one that sold the chotzer, the original owner. They were moichel their rights. Avol hacha lo. In the case of the shovach, with the small amount of land around it, so these arguments don't apply. Withdrawing into your own domain, or public for forgiving their rights to you. We take a look in the Rabbeinu Gershom, the lower part of the page. We have a little star in there, so you can find it easily. Three lines from the very end. Mishum dekenis b'ser shelo hoya inam yechuli ochil gabei b'nei rishus rabim. Avol, in contrast, gabi shovach lo amrinon harehu b'cheskos. So if I had only the case of the beams over the rishus rabim, I wouldn't have known the case of the shovach. I wouldn't have said harehu b'cheskos. Mishum diyachid lo machile she yikansu yoinim l'soich sodeh shelo. A private individual would not be so quickly forgiving, enabling a situation where the purchaser's birds will enter his field. And on my own, I wouldn't have said that the purchaser can continue his presence there with the shovach so close to the neighbor. Our mission informs us that even so, the purchaser can maintain the shovach with its close proximity. Now we turn back to the Gemara. V'yashvin hacha. Had I had just our Mishnah with the bird coop and the private owners in close proximity that surround it, I would have thought that kevan de yachid hu, since you're dealing with a neighbor who is a private person. The neighbor is, we're not dealing with the public, we're dealing with a private neighbor. Ema piyuse paise be mamone. There's room to say that the original owner, the seller of the bird coop, had paid him, the private person, money to allow the bird coop to be in such close proximity. So the idea of paying him off is easy to understand when you're dealing with a private situation. Inami achuli ochil gabei, or he was forgiving. One private person can be forgiving on his rights to the seller, to the seller who sold it to this current lokiach. Avol, however, the case of the extended beams and the public thoroughfare. Avol rabim man pious uman shovik. Who is being appeased, and who has the power to be forgiving? Rashi, second line from the bottom, says, "Man pious mi hoya rashi lekabel mos." Who from the public had the rights to receive payment in exchange for leaving the beams over a public thoroughfare? And mi man shovik, Rashi says, "Mi hu shebiyado limchol v'slo." Who is the one that had the right to forgive? So aim low in the case of the beams and over a public thoroughfare. I wouldn't have said that the court will be toyin on behalf of the lokeach, that the one who sold it to him had entered some kind of arrangement. Tzricha, therefore, we need to be taught that case as well, that even there, when you were dealing with the public, there is this consideration that some arrangement had been reached, and therefore the purchaser has the benefit of the court arguing on his behalf. Harehu b'cheskosoin. The Gemara asks, how can the Mishnah say that the bird coop can be left there with all of the previous discussion in mind? One cannot claim a continued use of something when it comes to damage that results to other parties. So you can't, just because it has been in use like this till now, that doesn't mean that there can be continued use. So Rav Mori Omar, and by the way, this we saw at the end of our previous shiur, on the upper part of the page, Rav Mori said that concept of Ein Chazoka L'Nezikin is Bekutra. That applies to smoke. And Rav Zvid Omar Beis Hakisei, that applies to someone that happened to have a Beis Hakisei, a place, as we saw in our previous year, a spot on the ground where he was relieving himself. And these two examples, either the smoke or the Beis Hakisei, just because a person has been using it and have been enjoying his property for that use, for emitting smoke or for Beis Hakisei purposes, if the neighbors at some time later say we can't take it anymore, they can make that claim, and you cannot claim that, well, I have a chazoka, I've been using it for such a long time. At this point, we will turn to the Tosfos that's relevant to this piece of Gemara. Dibor Hamaschil Marchikin. You'll find that in the middle of our Tosfos page, our Mark Tosfos page, the second half. This relates to the Gemara, 11 lines from the top of Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah that said Marchikim Hashoivoch Minoir Chamishim Amo. The necessity of distancing a bird coop from the city 50 amos. Why? Mipnei hatvua hanishtachas begagoi soir kedei liyabesh. The fear is that there are rooftops in the city that have grains that were spread out upon them for the purpose of drying out in the sun. And if the birds are within 50 amos of the city, they'll come and consume those grains. Avol litvuas. Regarding the grains in fields, in other words, the fear of loss of grains in fields through the birds that are near the city, leko lemechash bekorov liir. Regarding bird coops near a city, you don't have to worry about the loss of grains they may cause in the fields. Why? The fields nearest the city are at a distance of 1,000 amas. Kedisnan, as it's taught in Maseches Erechin, Ein Oisin Migrosh Sode Veloi Sode Migrosh. The Migrosh is the belt around a city with a width of 1,000 amos, and the based on Psukim and the Gemara there in Erechin, that must be left open, uncultivated, and hence there are no plants, there are no grains that are growing there. There are no grain seeds there whatsoever. So that if you're dealing with a bird coop that's relatively close to the city, if you, let's say, distanced the bird coop the requisite 50 amas from the city, you've still got 950 amas till the first field. And since the Mishnah speaks about maintaining a distance of 50 amas, you don't have to worry about the fields when you're dealing with bird coops that are close to the city. Now, in our Gemara Shir, in the section of our recording on the Gemara, we pointed out that the Mishnah had two examples. One concerning bird coops near the city, and that we just made reference to. And by the way, maybe you noticed we have a little diagram that can help to appreciate this particular point. Then we have the next Tosfos that features this point. So we turn our attention to Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Vilo, referring to the Gemara 12 lines from the top. Vilo yase shovoch toich sheloi. One shall not make a set up a bird coop within his own property unless he maintains a distance of 50 amos. We have a taktzir, a summation of this tosfos on the side where we've written the following: Lama tzrichim shtei dugmois shel archokas shevu chamishim amo. What's the necessity of having two examples, as we saw in the Mishnah, of distancing the Shovach 50 Amas? The first example was Korov Lo'ir, was the issue of within, or I should say, near the city. And the second one, Bein Hasodos, a bird coop that you set up in the midst of fields. We have... Now we turn to the Tosfos. V'lo yase shovach toich sheloi berochik minoir, as opposed to the Tosfos before where we're speaking about near the city. Here it's berochik minoir, at a great distance from the city. Bein hasodos, amongst the fields. V'itzterich lemisni Travayu. We need to teach both examples, namely one near the city and one far from the city. And we also have, by the way, an accompanying diagram to appreciate this as well. Why do I need both examples? The itana resha laharchik min ha'ir, had we taught just the first example of keeping the bird coop that's near the city at a minimum distance of 50 amas from the city, hasam dafka marchik v'pnei shetvu suir megulos hein b'chotzer hein b'gag. The availability of the grains to the birds is great. They're megulos, they're exposed, whether they're grains that are in someone's courtyard or grains on someone's rooftop. Avol tvua hanizras besodeh u'mechuse, regarding grains that were planted in fields, they're covered by earth. Ein tzorach l'archik. I would have thought, had I not taught the example of bird coop in fields, that there's no need for maintaining any distance. The seeds, the grain seeds that have been planted in the fields, are covered. The itana seifa. And had we taught just the example of bird coop in a field, mishum de besodos shchicha tvua. In fields, it's common to have grains. Avol b'ir de lo shchich kulei hayim alo. But in cities, it's not that common to have grains exposed, and therefore maybe there is no need for distancing. Hence, the need for both examples. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil, base, Arboas Kurin. This refers to the Gemara 14 lines from the top. Base, Arboas Kurin, Kemlo Sheger HaYoyna. We have on the side a taktzir slash mivneh combined with a structural note. You'll notice a triangle marking that highlights, you'll see in the Tosfos, the names of the Rabbonin and Rabbi Yehuda, the two Tanoim that we saw in our Gemara. And Tosfos will point out, Einam chokim b'shir sheger hayona, the distance known as sheger hayona, how far a bird will fly in one shot without resting, without landing. There's no argument between the two Tanaic authorities on that. The second point, Cholkin b'mahu hashiur shebetoch kach imole kreso. There is a disagreement, however, between the two Tanoim regarding the distance in which the bird will fill itself to capacity food-wise. So now we go to the Tosus. We'll read the Divor Maschil again. Beis Arbo Askurin Kamo Sheger Hayoina Rabbi Yehuda V'Rabbona Lo Pligi B'Sheger Hayoina Kamahave. The two Tanoim, Tanaic opinions here are not arguing how much is Sheger Hayona. The Modu Rabbonan, the Beis Arboa Kurin, Havi Sheger Hayona. The Rabbonan concede to Rabbi Yehuda that that's the amount, that's the distance, namely, Beis Arboa Kurin is the distance a bird will fly in one shot. Ela Rabbonan Savri, Kevon de Bechamishim Amo Malia Kursayu, Kiramrinon Bagamora Sulo Mazgi Fei. The Rabbonon hold that since within 50 amas of the bird coop they will fill themselves, as we saw in the Gemara, they won't cause any further damage. Rabbi Yehuda Savar de Kimelo Sheger Maski. And Rabbi Yehuda says that they will cause damage by consuming grains. Mlo Sheger, that means for our Beis Arboas Kurin, which is a greater distance, they still will cause damage. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil Ela. This relates to the Gemara 17 lines from the top. Ela im kein hirchik shloishin ris, with regard to the distance that one must maintain when he wants to spread out nets to catch birds. He must keep them at a distance of 30 ris. Hainu dalid mil. 30 ris happens to be the same as 4 mil. We should mention, it's obvious though, that we speak about keeping it at your nets 30 ris from the yishu, from the settlement. And we'll be elaborating on that term extensively later. Now this 7 ris, this 30 ris is the same as 4 mil. Damil, zayin ris umechza. 1 mil is 7.5 ris. And here Tosfos points out something that's quite informative, very interesting. Upamim shagemara noisin shiur berisin, upamim bemilin, upamim beparsa. Sometimes the Gemara gives its dimensions or its distances in terms of risin, sometimes in terms of milin, sometimes in terms of a parsa. And reason for pointing this out is that you shouldn't raise questions by why in one place do you see the measure stated in these terms and in other places the measure stated in other terms. We continue with Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil V'ha Tanya, relating to the Gemara 21 lines from the top. After hearing the distance that a bird will fly from the Yishuv is 30 ris or 4 mil, V'ha Tanya B'Yishuv Afilu Me'a Mil Lo Yifros. When you're dealing with the Yishuv, then you shouldn't spread out your nets even at a distance of 100 mil. First of all, before we continue with the Tosfos text itself, take note of the taktzir, the summary that we have on the side, where we include a mivneh, a structural note as well. So when we speak about a structural note, you might have caught a few things in the Tosfos text, and here we note the following on the side. Tosfos mevarer. Tosfos will try to clarify. Mahu pirush hamila yishuv. Now that word you'll see is highlighted in our markings with a house marking. What is the meaning of the word yishuv bedin harchokas nishoven? Regarding the law concerning distancing your bird nets or traps. Does the word yishuv mean ear, a city, or yishuv zroyim, or a place that's planted with seeds? Yishuv shovachim ukromim. Does it refer to a locale in which there are bird coops and or vineyards, what we're going to have to grapple with is that the term Yishuv can refer to any number of different situations, and Tosfos will present them. The another issue that will be featured, dealt with by the Tosfos, is Ma Kavonas Afilu Me'omil. We saw that expression in the Gemara when it says, when it comes to a Yishuv, then even 100 mil. Haim Hu Dafka, is it literally 100 mil, and if you distance yourself more, then it's okay? Olav Dafka, Afilu Elef Mil, O Yoser, if you say it's just an exaggeration, a term that indicates a great amount. The word exaggeration is not accurate, but to the contrary, Afilu Me'omil is a term suggesting even more, even 1,000 meal. There will be a point in the thesis where we'll be using a triangle in alternating directions toward the end, where the upright triangle indicates the issue that raises a question, and the inverted triangle the response. Also, just note before we get into the Tosfos itself that we open up with a long question mark until we get to, say, a final resolution on the part of the Tosfos. It'll take us a while. Now the Tosfos Vatanya b'Yishuv Afilu Mea Mil Lo Yifros Tema Demai Salkadaitoch Dahave Pirush Ubiyishuv. What's the thinking in the Gemara's mind when it asks this question? Ikori ha'ir yishuv. If you say that the term yishuv refers to the city, in Cain, if so, then im afilu me'omil lavdafka kamoi shemashma. If you're going to say that the term afilu me'omil is not exact, it's not limited to that, as it sounds, el afilu elef mil o yoser, means you must maintain a distance from the city before you can spread out your nets, 100 mil, 1,000 mil, or even more. If that's the pshat, in Cain, b'shum mokom lo yifros, afilu b'midbar v'rochoy klein sofin uyer, then the result is you could never spread out nets, even in a desert, at an endless distance from a city. Afilu im nomar de mea mil dafka, and even if you say, you take the approach that you cannot spread out nets unless you maintain a distance of 100 mil. Beyond that, it's okay. Mikol mokom, heich yiforesh es habraisa. How are we to explain the braisa if we're going to use that pshat, that yishuv means the city? D'ochi tanya b'tosefta de meruba. The braisa Tosis just referred to as the following, found in the Tosefta of the 7th parak of Bava Kama, the parak meruba. Ein porsin nishvin l'yoinim, elim kein hirchik min ha'yishuv shloshim ris. B'amed v'murim b'midbar. Avol b'yishuv afilu me'o mil lo yifros. Kevon de'ir kori yishuv. Now, my understanding, and I back this up a bit from an alternative girsa that appears in the quoted by the Masoras Hashas, and that if you're going to say that city mean that yishuv means city, then it would appear that you have a contradiction between the Reisha and the Seifa. In the Reisha, it said ein porsin nishvin liyonim kein hirchik min hayishuv shloshim. It seems that 30 ris is enough. And then it goes on to say, avol b'yishuv afilu me'o mil lo yifros. If you're dealing with a yishuv, then even 100 mil you can't spread out. So I make up your mind. Is a distance of 30 ris enough? Or no, it's not enough. Even 100 mil is necessary. We continue in the Tosfos. Ve'i salka daitoch dahachi pirusho. And if you want to explain the want to explain the brisa that we just quoted in the following fashion. Bamed varam amurim bamidbar. The brisa said, "Ein person ishvin b'yoinim el king hirfik min hayishuv shloshim ris." And when is that shloshim ris, the necessary distance? Bamidbar. Pirush she'ein zroyim. That there are no plants. It's midbar literally means a desert. So that if you have a bird nets, you want to catch birds, keep a distance of 30 ris from the city. So we're gonna keep that shot in the meantime. The yishuv means the city. If between the city and your nets is a midbar. Midbar means a place where there are no plants. Avol b'yishuv, pirush b'yishuv zroyim. If between your nets and the city is yishuv zroyim, a place that's cultivated, planted, etc. Afilu me'al mil lo yifros. Then even at a distance of 100 mil, you cannot set up your nets. Well, then, im kein, if so, that the shiur of 30 ris is referring to the midbar situation, namely between the city and where you are, there are no plants. My kashyole, why did the Gemara ask its question 21 lines from the top? The Gemara had raised its question, v'ha tanya, where the Gemara was asking its question on the source quoted by the Gemara's Kasha. It mentioned 100 mil, coming on the heels of the Gemara mentioning a distance of merely 30 ris. What's the question? The 30 ris applies to one situation. The 100 mil applies to another situation. Why would the Gemara jump on things if this last pshat were the accurate shot in the brisa that we just gave. The Omer Ritzvah. And now, as you can see with our markings, this is the response to the Tema at the beginning of the Tosis, where our double underline indicates now a response. Devadai salka daitoch da'iri beyishuv zroyim. Initial thinking certainly involved a scenario involving a cultivated area, a place that there are zroim, that there are fields that are planted. Lahachi porech, and therefore the Gemara asked, "Omeshet shaiti shloishem ris v'suloi afilu b'yishuv zroim." After mentioning that the bird, that you must keep a distance of 30 ris from the yishuv, 30 ris and no more, are you saying that even in a case where there is a cultivated area, that 30 ris is enough? Namely, you want to set up your nets, you have to keep 30 ris, a 4 mil distance between the city and your nets, even in a case where there is a cultivated area between the city and your nets. V'homuchach debeyishuv zroyim shaiti tuva. If there is an area of cultivation, the birds will fly quite a greater distance. V'ein ze elo mishum achila. And this extended flight distance is for the birds consuming a food. Alma, what do you see from that? The lomalia kreisayu b'chamishim amo. Birds will not fill themselves up within a mere 50 amos. They'll fly more and more and more for food purposes. And that would be a kasha on Abaye that said earlier that birds fill themselves up within 50 amos. Here you see that birds will fly if you are dealing with a yishuv kromim, a yishuv zroyim, birds will fly much more. Umeshani, and we answer, Dolo Airi beYishuv Zroyim. The source that speaks of 4 mil or 30 ris is not a case involving a cultivated area, and therefore that source is not dealing with the issue of milui keres, of filling itself up. It's not dealing with the bird eating. Ela beYishuv Shovachim veYishuv Kromim. Rather, when it speaks of Yishuv, it's a reference to a place that an area that has in it bird coops and vineyards. And in a case like that, so the required distance is in fact 100 mil. The Kore Midbar, the term Midbar that we saw in the Braisa, Hecha Deleka Shovachim Ukromim. That's a reference to a place where there are no Shovachim Ukromim, and in a case like that, then 30 ris is enough. And those statistics are the required distancing for spreading out nets in order to avoid catching birds from a city. As far as 50 amo is concerned, Abaye's shiur, that's the shiur in which the bird will fill itself up and not cause damage any further. We continue with the Tosfos Divur HaMaschil Gilreish, referring to the Gemara 14 lines from the bottom. This is coming on the heels of the observation that the Mishnah taught when it said Harehu Becheskoso, that we learn the halacha of Taninon with regard to a lokeach and with regard to a yoresh. The Gemara had asked, well, if that's what our Mishnah is teaching us, there appears to be a redundancy, for these points are taught elsewhere. So now the Tosfos says, V'salka daitoch hamakshe, when the Gemara asked yoresh tanina, lokeach nami tanina, the masnisen ashmeinen beyoresh vuadin belokeach, that our Mishnah is the source of ta'aninon for both cases. I repeat, the havamina of the maksha, what was in the maksha's mind, is that our Mishnah is the source for ta'aninon, both by yoresh and by the lokeach. Umihu. And of course, he asked, why do I need our Mishnah for both of these halachas? For they are taught elsewhere. Umihu Rav Zvid denokat nami yoresh. The Gemara quoted Rav Zvid by saying, Zol someres taninan lokeach v'taninan liyoresh. As far as Rav Zvid is concerned, Rav Zvid, who mentioned also yoresh, that there is a din of taninon for yoresh, amasnisen de lekamon somich. Rav Zvid was relying on the Mishnah from later on, where it said, habo mishum yerusha, that Mishnah on Mem Aleph, on Daf Mem Aleph, is the source for taninon liyoresh, namely, from Rav Zvid's standpoint. Our Mishnah, when it said Harei Becheskoso, is not referring to the case of Yoresh at all. But as far as Rav Zvid is concerned, Taninon by Yoresh is revealed in the Mishnah later on in Daf Mem Aleph. Avol masnis in dehocha lo shaminon mino yoresh. Our Mishnah is not the source of yoresh. Mideitzdirich masnisin delakamon. From the fact that we require the Mishnah later on Adaf Mem Aleph. So we have a very, I think we have to just refine what Tosfos is saying, and it's as follows: that as far as the Makshin is concerned, our Mishnah, if it's the source of both halachas, then there is a, we'll call it a double redundancy. Why do I need our Mishnah for these two halachas when these two halachas are taught in two other Mishnayos? From Rav Zvid's standpoint, our Mishnah is teaching the din of Taninon only by Lokeach. And as far as Rav Zvid is concerned, there is the necessity of explaining the redundancy only with regard to Lokeach. And in fact, that's what the Gemara does. The Gemara said that our Mishnah is needed for the din of Taninon by Lokeach. Ah, but it seems that that too is taught elsewhere. So the Gemara said, well, both Mishnayos are necessary for Taninon in the case of Lokeach. We continue now with the next Tosfos. Dibur HaMaschil Utsrichi. This refers to the Gemara 10 lines from the bottom. Utsrichi, the Gemara said, I need both sources, I need two sources for Lokeach. One was dealing with the Lokeach against a private Ma'arer, and the other was dealing with Lokeach versus a public Ma'arer. Tosfos asks, V'im toimar b'yoresh nami lisni tarti. Why not then have two Mishnayos dealing similarly with a Yoresh, an heir against a single Ma'arer, and an heir versus a public Ma'arer? The Yesh Lomar, we answer, Da'ashmeinin b'lokeach. The Mishnayos revealed to us in the case of Lokeach, the Din of Taninon, in two situations, private and public. V'adin b'yoresh. And we understand on our own, likewise, we will practice Taninon in both cases by Yoresh as well, without the need of an extra Mishnah. We continue now with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil, Achuli. This refers to the Gemara 8 lines from the bottom. Achuli Achilu Gabe. The B'nai Rishus HaRabim were Moichel. If we had just the case of the Zizin and Gezustros source, so there I see that the B'nai Rishus HaRabim were Moichel to the owner of the property that had these extended factors, whether it be the beams or the balconies. When it says, when the Gemara suggests that the B'nai Rishus HaRabim were Moichel, Pirush, Tosfos explains, Zayin tu v'ir b'maimed anshe'ir. That's a reference to something that is mentioned in Maseches Megillah. Tosfos will quote that very shortly. We have 7 municipal representatives, town representatives, in the presence of the community, maimed anshe'ir, in the presence of the townspeople. Shehorashus biyodom. They have that power. Kedoma perik basu megillah. They have the power to, let's say, forego on say public rights, public property. In this case, the public thoroughfare had a right to travel on the in the Rishus Rabbim without any protrusions. They can forego on that. Kinomar Perak Basu de Megillah, Vekevan de Leko Lechol Chad Baderech Elaporta, Machli Tvei Miyachid. And since each member of the public has, as far as his individual holding rights or ownership of the public thoroughfare is very little. You have a street, a boulevard in a city, and we'll say the city is owned by the joint population. Percentage-wise, how much does any individual have in that? How much holding does he have in it? Very little. So, therefore, from that standpoint, it's easy for them to forego, much more so than when you're dealing with an individual who is opposed by a yochid, by a private person who is the exclusive owner of his property. And with that in mind, we understand what the Gemara meant when it said, had I taught the case of the public foregoing their rights, I would not have known the case of the case referred to in our Mishnah of a private individual being confronted by one private individual. There it's a question of exclusive ownership. There may be, if I would not have been taught the second case, I wouldn't have known that, I wouldn't have assumed that there would be a mechila giving grounds for our ta'aninon. We continue now with the Gemara at the top of Omid Beis, Chof Gimel Omid Beis, at the Mishnah. As it appears at this point, it will be necessary for us to learn the Gemara till Daf Chof Dalid Omid Beis, so that even though the Shiur may appear in a Daf Yomi context, nevertheless, the Tosfos in Mirtzei Hashem that we'll be seeing make heavy reference to the Gemaras beyond Chof Gimel Omid Beis. So to appreciate what Tosfos will be saying, it's of utmost importance for us to be very familiar with all of the Gemara on Daf Chof Dalid Omid Aleph till the Mishnah on Chof Dalid Omid Beis. So as things appear now, that's our game plan. Now the Mishnah. The top of Chof Gimel Omid Beis, Nipol HaNimtza. Nipol is Rashi says, Goizel, a young bird that's found B'soy Chamishim Amo, within 50 Amos of a bird coop, Harehu Shel Baal HaShovach. That found bird belongs to the owner of that coop. Chutz Mechamishim Amo, Harehu Shel Motso. If you find the Goizel or the Nipol beyond 50 Amos from the bird coop, you are now the owner of it. You the finder, can keep it. Nimsa bein shnei shovachos. If a young bird is found between two bird coops, korov lozeh shelo. The closer bird coop to that bird, the owner of that closer bird coop gets the bird. Mechtso al mechtso, shneim yachloku. If it's midway between, then the bird coop owners will split the value of the bird. As we open the Gemara, we notice a firebox, one of the rare markings, but it's a marking that indicates that a particular shita or idea will be the focus of the Gemara for quite a while, in this case, till Chof Dalid Omid Beis. Note on the side, as our topic heading, we indicate until Chof Dalid Omid Beis, Rov Vekorov. If you have to decide a situation of doubt based on either majority, multitudes or majority, versus proximity, and the two conclusions we'll say would be opposing. In other words, if you conclude to decide matters based on the Rov, you'll come out to a different conclusion than if you were to decide the matter of doubt based on closeness or based on proximity. So given these, we'll call it two methods of conclusion, which is the decided method to rely upon? Omar Rebbe Hanina, Rov Korov Holchim Achar Horov. When you have to decide a matter based on Rov versus Korov, you go according to the Rov. The Afagav, the Ruba Doraisa, the Kurva Doraisa, the Lohochi Ruba Odif. Even though both of these are ideas that are Torah-based. They have two Torah forces. Nevertheless, the Rove method of conclusion is going to be the overruling factor. If we glance in the Rashi, we have a little star, four lines from the top of the Rashi. V'afagav d'chvayu d'raisa, ruba d'raisa. We see in the Torah the concept of Rove, d'chtiv acharei rabim la'atois. The kurva d'raisa, the idea of proximity as a method of deciding a matter of doubt, d'chtiv, in the Pasuk says regarding in the parsha of Eglah Rufa, a murder victim is found on a road. The Hoyo Ho'ir HaKroiva, the closer of the two cities, is obligated to bring the Eglah Rufa. So we see that closeness is a method of deciding a matter of doubt from which city did the murderer emanate. So both are, as we said, both are Torah concepts, but according to Rabbi Chanina, the Rove method is the way of determining that the doubt. As we continue in the Gemara, a marking appears, and on the side under the Mivneh, we have a structural note where the triangle indicates Kushas on Rabbi Chanina, the Omer Hochanach HaRove, be raising Kashas on Rabbi Chanina. He said, you go according to the Rove, these Kashas will indicate that you follow the Korov. And the questions raised, the first question you'll see comes from the Pasuk, and the feeling of the Gemara is that you're going to go according to the Korov, and notice the double underline marking, and we've indicated, even though there is an opposing factor that is greater in terms of number or quantity, nevertheless, you go according to proximity and not majority or quantity. Now the Gemara, Mosiv Rabbi Zera, the nearer of the, we'll say, two cities, there is a murder victim, a body found between the two cities. The Pasuk says the closer of the two cities to the halal, to the corpse, the closer one brings the aglarufa, even though there is another city that's greater in population, greater in size. So the Pasuk is saying, given Korov versus Rov, you decide matters based on Krova, based on proximity. Gemara says, no, but Deleka. The Pasuk, when it speaks of the closer city brings the Eglah Rufa, that's the largest of the cities. There is no larger city in the vicinity. Question, Velezel Bosaruba di Alma. Well, why not? You follow, if Rabbi Chanino is correct, so you would follow the Ruba di Alma means the world population. You have a closed city, but opposing the closed city, you've got the rest of the world population. Maybe the murderer came from there. And yet you see that we don't consider that. What's the deciding factor? Korva, proximity. The Gemara answers no. Be'yoshevis bein ha'horim. The Pasuk is describing a city, that city that's closest to the murder victim is a city found between mountains, so that it's enclosed in that sense. It's surrounded by mountains, hence the murderer would not have come from Ruba the Alma. So that in that specific case, the Rove is non-existent. It's not a competing force. Tanan. Here we raise again a question from our Mishnah. Nipul animsa b'seir chamishim amo, harehu shalbal ha-shoivach, a bird found within 50 amos of a bird coop, it belongs to the bird, the found bird belongs to the owner of that coop. V'yaf agav di'ika achrina d'nofesh mineh, even though there is another bird coop that is larger, so that the deciding factor is Kurva, the Gemara says, well, Bidaleka, there isn't another bird coop that's larger. Question, Ihachi, Emo Seifa, it said in the continuation of the Mishnah, Chutz Mechamishimamo, Harehu, Shel Motso. If there is a bird found outside of 50 Amos from the bird coop, then you keep it. Well, the Iba Daleka, if according to your explanation of Mishnah there is no other bird coop, then Vadei Me'ahu Nafal. Then the found bird came only from that singular bird coop, even though it's more than 50 amas from the bird. Why does the Mishnah say that you can keep it? But you said that the very same Mishnah is talking about there is no other bird coop. Gemara answers, Hacha b'mayaskinu b'midoda. Our Mishnah is talking about a waddling bird. It's not a bird that flies, it waddles. And it's let's take a look together at the Rashi. Hacha b'mayaskinon, kula masnisen mitritza b'medoda. The entire Mishnah is to be understood referring to a bird that's medoda, a waddling bird. B'goizel sheni ochalof, what is medoda? It's incapable of flying. It's very young, it hasn't developed the ability to fly. Ela b'di dui ma'at ma'at. It waddles along a little by little. Hilkoch. A bird found within 50 amas of a bird coop, it belongs to the owner of that bird coop. Even if there happens to be a larger bird coop, but it's more than 50 amas away, why? Waddling birds do not waddle more than 50 amas. So that this example we cannot describe this scenario of rove versus crow. There is no rove over here. There may be a larger bird coop, but it's beyond 50 amas. So we discount it altogether. V'chutz shel chamishim. If you find a bird, a waddling bird, more than 50 amas, then shel motzo, it belong, you keep it. The cave of the ein medoda yoyser mechamishim v'zeyotze chutz lechamishim. Since waddling birds do not waddle more than 50 amas, and you found a waddling bird more than 50 amas from a bird coop, nofak le mitoras medoda v'kom le b'toras mafriach. It leaves the category of waddlers, and it enters a legal category of flyers. V'ika lemezel bay balsiruba d'alma. Even though maybe in looking at the bird, you decide that it's not capable of flying, legally it's not restricted to the realm of waddler, and therefore you decide you're entitled to keep it because it belongs to the world. It comes from the world at large, and who knows who the owner is? So you're entitled to keep it. So now we turn back to the Gemara. The Gemara had said, "Hocha b'mayaskina b'medada di omar avukva barchama kol ha medada ein medada yoyser mechamishim amo." All waddlers do not waddle from their bird coops more than 50 amas. Therefore, when you find a bird more than 50 amas, it did not come from that shovach. In other words, you can't say that it definitely came from that shovach, and in a situation like that, you can keep it. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya, ragloi achas b'soy chamishim amo, v'ragloi achas chutz mechamishim amo, mahu? What would the din be if you found a waddler, one leg within 50 amas of a bird coop, but the other leg outside? The bird itself is straddling the 50 amma mark. What's the din? The Gemara tells us that as a result of this question, Afkuhu Rabbi Yirmiya mibei medrash. Rabbi Yirmiya was cast out of the base medrash. He overdid it, so to speak. What is the problem with his question? Tosfos will deal with that. But for Rashi, it's very brief. He says, Shehoya matriach aleihem. Matriach, it was bothersome, troubled them, but we need to explain a little more than just that. Mirtz Hashem, we'll see that dealt with in the Tosfos. The Gemara mentions that he was thrown out of the Beis Medrash for this question. It's worth noting that later in this Masifta, toward the end, of Kuf Samach Hamid Beis, they brought him back into the Beis Medrash. Toshma, we continue with our series of questions on Rabbi Hanina. Nimsa bein shnei shovachos, korov lazeh shelo, v'korov lazeh shelo. Bird found between two bird coops. The closer of the two bird coops is considered the owner. Even though one is greater in size than the other, the closer one gets it over the larger one. That would be a kasha from a Mishnah Rabbi Hanina, from our Mishnah Rabbi Hanina. Our Mishnah, when it said, spoke about the bird found between two coops, both coops are equal in size. So there's no rove factor. So you're left with only the korov factor with which to resolve the doubt of ownership. Question. V'lezel basa ruba d'alma. Why not still insist that there is a rove factor, and that is the rest of the world? And though it may be closer to one of the bird coops, still there's the larger number of birds are found in the rest of the world. And if that's the case, keep it. Why does it go to the closer of the two bird coops? The Gemara answers, and the spirit of the answer is that in this case you don't have to factor in what we call ruba d'amo. And why not? Hacha b'mai askinon. Here we are talking about, and we continue at the top of daf chof dalid omen aleph. Beshvil, a path. Beshvil shel kromim. To appreciate that, it's a path in vineyards. We look at the Rashi. Maybe even before we read the Rashi, there's a couple more words in the Gemara. The case of the bird found between the bird coops is a bird found in a shvil shel kromim. Here Gemara explains why we discount the rest of the world. If it were so that it may have come from the rest of the world, kevon demididi lo motzi osi. Since, as we saw just before in the Rashi, that the entire Mishnah is talking about a waddler, it couldn't have come to this point. Why? The chol demididi, the hodar chazile lekine mididi vilo lo mididi. Waddlers will waddle and waddle, but as long as they can see their kine, literally their nest, or in this case the coop, as long as they see the coop, they will waddle. But at the point at which they can't see their coop, so they wouldn't waddle. And because you're dealing with a shvil shel kromim, the visibility of something beyond that doesn't exist, so that what's beyond the chroma, beyond the vineyard, called the ruba d'alma, is discounted as far as this bird is concerned. It's found in this confined environment. Now we look at Rashi together at the top. B'shvil shel chroma dal yedei chromim midodo chutz l'chamishim amo, because of the vines that make up the vineyard, the bird will waddle more than 50 amos. Umiu boser ruba d'alma leko lemezal. As far as deciding ownership, or concluding that you can keep it because it comes from the rest of the world, that's not a factor here. The chol hamedoda v'chozik l'kine kishemachzir roishoy midoda ilo lo midoda. When you're dealing with waddlers, they will waddle as long as when they turn their heads, they can see their original coop. But if the bird reaches a situation where it turns its head and can't see the original coop, it won't waddle. V'hai, in this case, with the shvil shel kromim, I me'alma osa, lo motzi chozi l'kine, if it had come from outside, from the rest of the world, it wouldn't have been able to see the rest. It wouldn't have been able to see its coop in its current location. The krumim mafsikin lifonov, the vines block it. If the vines block its view from where it is now, from the rest of the world, so it wouldn't have come to this point from beyond. We now, at this point then, we've explained the Mishnah in such a way that because of the circumstances, we're left with only Korov to decide the factor. It's a Mishnah where you have, there exists a doubt as far as the bird is concerned, but you don't have a rove factor countering. Omar Abaye, Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have a new marking. And on the side, we have a nose / mivneh. We indicate that we have a ma'akav. You'll see that this marking appears in alternating directions, with the point facing up. Siyua l'Rabbi Chanina d'Elchanachar Harov. We're going to bring a support from a Tanaic source to Rabbi Chanina that you follow the rov. From the case of midam isha shenimtzer b'prozdar. From the case of the general topic of nida. To establish defilement from the menstruation flow of a woman. And here the dam, the blood, is found inside the woman in the prozdar. And we say, that's a part of her internal anatomy. And we'll see later, maybe we'll go through the Rashi. The prozdar is physically located toward the front of the woman, and toward the back of the woman there is an organ called the cheder, in all likelihood the uterus, which is the source of the dam that's tome, and above these two organs or elements in the anatomy, between the two but above them, you have to imagine like a pyramid-style structure or a triangular situation. You have two lower and one above, but between them is something called an aliyah. And you have dam that's found in the prozdar, and the Tanaic source that we'll see rules that dam, the tome, who, it establishes tuma, afapi shaliyah korov, even though the aliyah, which is we'll call that other organ, is above and closer. It's closer in proximity to the location of the found dam. Nevertheless, we rule tuma. And why is that? Because the majority of blood comes from the cheder. The term cheder also, you'll see, is referred to as the mokor. That's the term used in the Tanaic source. Mokor literally meaning source of blood. That's the term. On our Tosfos page, where we have our marked Tosfosim, so we have a diagram that we took from the adopted from the Pirush Chai with some greater detail. But for as far as our nosei, our topic heading is concerned, the support to Rabbi Chanina is going to come from that Mishnah in Maseches Nida, which you have an issue of doubt concerning the blood. Is the blood associated with Korov, with the closer possibility, or the possibility indicating Rov, the majority possibility? The ruling of the Mishnah is that it's considered Tomei, indicating that we follow the majority possibility over the proximity option. The inverted marking indicates Ein l'seya midam midin dam ho'isha me'achashu rov u'motzui. You can't bring support to Rechanina from that case. In that case, with the dam nida, of course she's tamei, because not only do you have an issue of majority, but you also have an issue of motzui, of frequency. Rov u'motzui, that's an overwhelming deciding factor that certainly will win over a simple case of korov, of proximity. But if you would have just rov versus korov, but not rov u'motzui, then It could be that Karov would be the deciding factor. We can't say we have a support to Rabbi Hanina from here. However, in the continuation of the Gemara, we'll see that we go back and adopt Rabbi Hanina. Hence, we have, you'll see a third house marking with the point facing up. Now the Gemara. Omar Abaye, we're four lines from the top. Afana Nami Tanina, we have a Tanaic source supporting Rabbi Hanina, that when you have Rov versus Korov, you establish the doubt based on the Rov. What does it say in the Mishneh Nida? Dam Shinimsa Beprozdor, Sveiko Tome, Shechezkosoi Min Hamokar. Dam found in the Prozdor, even though there's an element of doubt, we rule the woman as being Tome, because it's assumed. Its assumed status is from the moker. The moker meaning the ched, we said cheder, moker from that organ. Even though there is the aliyah organ that's closer to the location where this dam was found, what do you see? We follow the rov. The Mora tries to reject Omalei. Rava says to Abaye, Rovu Motzli Kamris. Are you citing an example from Maseches Nida, where it's essentially the Moker versus Moker, meaning that organ versus the Aliyah? The Moker is not only Rov, but it's also Motzli. It's the frequency of blood coming from there is much greater than from the Aliyah. So when you have a case of Rov U Motzli versus Karov, Rovu Motzli Lekol Lamanda Omar. There's no one that would argue. Rabbi Hanina in a case like that you would go according to the Rov. In other words, there's no one that would argue in a case like that. Rashi says Rovu Motsui, the Rashi, you could see in the almost halfway down the narrow lines of Rashi, Rovu Motsui Mokor Domov Rabim Yosh Mishalia. First of all, quantity-wise, the moker is a greater amount of dam there than in the aliyah. V'yod shein tadirin lazuv nisham. U'dame waliyo ein tadirin lotzeis. It's common for blood to come from the moker, not so from the aliyah. B'ho leko ma depolig al Rabbi Hanina. In a case like that, no one would argue with Rabbi Hanina to suggest you go according to the Karov. Now, we turn back to the Gemara. The Tani Rabbi Chia. I'll just tell you ahead of time, even though it's going to be a little while till we get to the Tesis. This, the letter at the beginning of the line, the Dalet, is going to be quite a discussion within the Tesis as far as the Girs of the Gemara. Needless to say, similar to Torah Shebiksav, where one letter can passel a Sefer Torah, one letter in our Torah Shebaal Peh can make a very big difference in how to understand things. So, in the meantime, we're going to just go along with the Gemara in its current Girsa. The Tani Rabbi Chia, then, the Dalet indicates that this is a continuation of what Rava is saying. Rava seems to be quoting then a Tanaic source authored by Rabbi Hanina Brisa that says, Dam Animsa Beprozdar, Dam found in the Prozdar, Chayovim Olav, Albias Mikdosh, Vesorfin Olav Es Hatruma. It's so certain to be a source of tuma, so much so that if a person were to enter the Beis Hamikdash after having contact with that situation, they would be in violation of entrance to Beis Hamikdash. If let's say that woman that had dam found in the prozor would go into the Beis HaMikdash, she would be guilty of that. And if she did so in a shogeg capacity, she'd have to bring a korban chatos, and it would be considered a definite korban and not chulin, there's no element of sofek regarding that korban that we would consider maybe it's chulin bazara. And not only that, but if she were to touch truma, will burn the truma in general. If you have doubt concerning the defilement of truma, you leave it aside to rot. You don't burn it. Burning of truma indicates that it's definitely tomei. Omar Rova. Shma mino mi de Rebbe Chia klas. From the source we just heard, we conclude three conclusions. Shma mino rov v'korva locho achorov. Well, you see, this is why we have the house point facing up. At this point, the Gemara will also ask, this seems to be inconsistent with what we just said, but nevertheless, Rava is telling us that from this source we have a support to Rabbi Chanina. Namely, that when you have Rov versus Korov, you follow the Rov, that's like Rabbi Chanina. And marking-wise, just like Abaye said, we have a support to Rabbi Chanina, Rava is saying the same thing. Number two, Ushma mina ruba d'oraisa. From the fact that it's said in this source that you will burn the truma, that indicates that when you come to a conclusion following Rov, you're resting upon a Torah level consideration. Otherwise, you wouldn't burn truma. Ushma mina isa l'derebi zera. And another conclusion is that we can support Rebbe Zera, and here we have an example of a Gemara that's very terse, but there's a tremendous amount of background, a large sugya that stands behind what we're about to learn. So first we'll read a couple words of Gemara and then attempt to give some greater background. What does Rebbe Zera say? Diyama Rebbe Zera Afalfi Shedalsois Medina Nulois. This is a reference to the very well-known, the famous case. It's called the case of Teisha Chanuyos. The case of Teisha Chanuyos is, in Maseches Chulin, a piece of meat that's found in the street. And in that, let's say along that street, there are 10 stores that sell meat. 9 of them sell kosher meats called Shchuta, and one sells unkosher meat we call nevela. If you find the meat out in the street, Rabbi Zera says, you follow the majority, namely, well, if it's found in the street, there are 9 we're selling kosher meat, the meat is deemed kosher, even if the city gates are closed. That's what Rabbi Zera says. He says, Aval pish dalsus medina nulos. What would we have gained had the city gates been open? If the city gates had been open, we're dealing with a region. Imagine a place in Eretz Yisrael, or a place where the region is majority Jewish, where they eat kosher meat. This piece of meat found in the street, where did it come from? Well, if the gates of the city are open, it may have come from outside the city, outside the city, comes from the larger area where the majority of meat happens to be kosher. What's Rabbi Zera saying? Even if I don't have that option, namely ascribing the meat to have come from outside the city, I have only one majority factor, namely the street within that city where the majority of shops happen to sell kosher meat, it's enough. You don't have to have a double whammy, so to speak, in order to conclude the kashrus of the meat. It's enough that you have one majority factor. There happens to be another sugya in Shas, in the first perek of Ksubis, which deals with this issue of one majority or two majorities. The Rabbeinu Gershom makes reference to that other sugya, and I'll just say ahead of time, in that other sugya we do require a double majority in order to establish acceptability, and we don't use that sugya, Maseches Ksubis, as a precedent for the case of the meat. You might be asking, well, what's that other sugya? So there is a, I think that the best thing for us to do would be to look into the Rabbeinu Gershom commentary, the lower part of his commentary. The beginning of the line says Shma Mina De'isa L'Rabbi Zeira. I'll continue in the Rabbeinu Gershom. The Omar Perakam D'Ksubis Bahan Bano the Omar Rabbi Yosi Ma'isa B'Tinoikis. The Sugim Ksubis deals with the case of a girl. She yardim in a mayon v'nansa. She was drawing water. she was coming forth from a well, and she was raped. The Omar Rabbi Kiva. If the majority of the city are people that are of kosher lineage, namely they could, there's not any doubt that there may be their slaves or idol worshippers, namely the majority of the city are people that could marry into the priesthood, into the kahuna. And v'rov siya shokshayrim oivrim l'sham. And there's an additional rove, an additional majority, namely a caravan or travelers that are coming, that pass by that place. Harezu tinose lekuna. The girl is entitled, even though she was raped, and we don't know who the rapist was, where did he come from? Well, you have a majority of the city that would not have rendered her unfit to the kuna. And you also have travelers that are passing through in a caravan, that also the majority of them were kosher people as far as marriage to the kuna, and their having raped her would not have rendered her unfit to the kuna. What does render a woman unfit to the kuna? So there is a list of people, including idol worshippers and the like, but the majority are not in that case in Ksubas were not like that. The Rabbi Zera Omar, Afagav Shedalsus Medina Neulois, the Isra La Ruba, the Lekel Achad Ruba, the Lo Ka'ivere Sia Shoksherim Lisham, Afilochi, Masin Lakuna, Hail, the Rofuir Masin Lakuna. Rabbi Zera says, even if the city of the Medina gates were closed, so that we'll call it the city gates were closed, and in that case you're weakening the majority, you have only one rove, namely you don't have the caravan passing through factor, you have only the majority of the city, we still allow her to marry into the kuna. Why? Because the majority of the city, that's enough. Da isha kevon de les bo elo chad rove. The roiv domim in amoker, hein kedalsus medina de ulos damian. Fafilohachi aslinon bosser ruba. And he cites as a precedent the case of the woman with the blood, our Gemara. That a woman with the blood, where does the blood in the prosdor come from? The majority is from the moker. We don't have an additional, she's additional source of tome blood. Only one source of Tomei blood, which also happens to be the majority of blood in this case. So the woman is like the locked city, and the fact that we have one rove, that's enough, and that's enough to determine her to be Tomeiah. And the conclusion that we the conclusion based on a rove, you can see, by the way, works in two directions. Here we're concluding she's definitely Tameah, and in the Gemara there in Ksubas, according to Rabbi Zera, as the Rabbeinu Gershom presents it, we're concluding that she's kosher to marry into the kahuna. Now, let's turn back to our Gemara text. The number three, we read again, Ushma mino isolo de Rizera, Diomar Rabbi Zera, Afal pisha dalsus medina neulois. Even when you have a case of the city gates closed, and that for our purposes means you create a situation where you have only one rove, whether it be in the example of the meat or the example of the rape victim in Ksubas, one rove is enough. Deha isha the chidalsus medina nulos damya, the case of the woman, the nida, the blood, is parallel to city gates closed. In other words, the dam isn't coming to her prozer from some outside source. Even so, we follow the one, the singular majority, namely the blood coming from the moker. The Gemara asks, how can Rava use Rabbi Chiya's source as a basis for concluding that we will support Rabbi Hanina in his law of Rav Karov, you go according to the Rav. For Rava, who de Komar? Notice we have arrows, and you can use this to align with the arrows above. Rava himself said, Rav Umotsu Lekolamad Omar. In the case of the Dam Nido, that's different than the other cases. That's a case where you have not only majority, you also have frequency. That's unique. And in a case like that, of course you'll follow the majority, because it's a majority with frequency as well. How can that be a source of support to create a general principle of Rove versus Carl, follow the Rove, in a Rove where you don't have the additional frequency factor? Rava changed his mind. He reversed himself from that observation of Rove Umotsui. And simply viewed, like Abaye did, that the case of Dam Nida is just one more example of Rov. And the issue of frequency is a non-factor. Now, as we continue with the Gemara, we have a new marking. You'll notice a diamond marking, and on the side under our nosei / mivne heading, these are She'elos Be'inyin Yayin Nesech. Questions regarding prohibited wine, called Yayin Nesech, a wine that came into contact with an idol worshiper. Shagemora Menasa Ladun Bohem Leor Sugyas Rov Karov. These questions will be dealt with, bearing in mind the factors of Rov versus Karov. A double underline marking will appear along the way. Under our Mivneh heading, these are Nisyonis L'Kashir HaMikrim L'Shitas Rabbi Chanina. These will be attempts of the Gemara in each one of these cases to connect the issue to Shitas Rabbi Chanina. When we say to connect it, you'll see the first attempt is to suggest that the two deos that whose names we circle, Rav and Shmuel, are arguing over whether or not to accept Rabbi Chanina. Then the second attempt in the Gemara will be suggested to say that the ruling that Ravina issues in that case is because he holds like Rabbi Chanina. And then the next double underline, which appears second line from the bottom of the Gemara, where Rava issues a ruling, the Gemara will suggest that seems to be that Rava does not hold by Rabbi Chanina. By the way, in these examples where you see the term lema, and that's the word that we've highlighted, these are inevitably a lema suggestion. It's a suggestion that they are rejected. So if in the first case we're suggesting that Rav and Shmuel argue whether or not to accept Rabbi Chanina, then we'll say no, they're not arguing over that. And in the second case, to suggest that we see that Ravina holds by Rabbi Chanina, and we'll say no, that's not the basis of Ravina's ruling. And likewise, with regard to the last attempt, the Gemara will reject that in regarding the third question. Now the Gemara. Itmar chovis shitzofa benar, a barrel of wine found floating in a river. Is the wine considered kosher or not? Is it from Jews or is it from idol worshippers? Omar Rav Nimseis Keneged Ir Sheruba Yisrael Mutar Keneged Ir Sheruba Nachrim Asira. According to Rav, you determine things based on where you find it. If it's opposite a city that's majority are Jewish, it's allowed. If it's opposite a city majority of whom are idol worshippers, the wine is forbidden. Shmuel Omar Afilu Nimseis Keneged Ir Sheruba Yisrael Asira. Even if the barrel is found opposite a city, majority of whom are Jewish, the wine is forbidden. Amor me'i dekira asoi. we have to consider that maybe it came from Ihi Dekira, a place that's populated by non-Jews, majority non-Jews. So that even though you find it close to a city that is majority Jewish, you've got to consider maybe it comes from outside, from, we'll say, the larger world. Shall we say that Rav and Shmuel are arguing over Rabbi Hanino's principle? Demor sovar is later Ruchanino. Shmuel holds Ruchanino. In other words, proximity to the Jewish city doesn't make the wine kosher. You have to consider it came from the larger world. Umor less later Ruchanino. And Rav, who seems to decide based on proximity, he said opposite Jewish city wine kosher, opposite idolatrous city wine kosher. He doesn't hold from Rabbi Hanino. He goes according to Kurva to decide matters. Well, that is not the analysis of the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Dekulei almas lo Rabbi Hanino. Everyone, Rav and Shmuel, even Rav, holds like Rabbi Hanino, that you conclude matters based on the majority. And in this case, if you want to decide the kashrus of the wine, and you were to go according to the majority, that would be good reason for prohibiting the wine. So what we have to explain then is, the burden of explanation is on is more on Shmuel. It's more so on Rav, who gave us an option of the wine being kosher. If it was opposite a city of Yisrael, it's kosher. V'hocha b'hol k'mifligi. And the following is the analysis of the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. D'mor sova Rav, who at this point agrees that you would follow the majority, and we said that that's good reason for prohibiting. Rav, though, who said near Jewish city it's kosher, he says, "Emi Esau, demi dekira asoi." If you were to think that it came from E dekira, it wouldn't have made it this far. It wouldn't have made it in the river and floating in the river to this location opposite the Jewish city. Akuli Upshuri have a mitbile. The Akuli Upshuri phenomena of the river would have sunk the barrel. What are Akuli Upshuri? So you can see in the Rashi explains in the wide lines under the Gemara text, Akuli Upshuri have utavile, arbe mekomis yesh, misham viatkan. There are many places from there, from E Dekiri to here, opposite the Jewish city, Shamayim, Misaklin, Misgaglin, Kigagl, Bumokim Echod, Machmas Kife, Sloim, Arukim, Aboim, Altochanor. This Rashi seems to be describing something like whirlpools of water, that where the water swirls around and around, based, created by protruding rocks, long rocks that protrude into the river channel. And the Vamayim Mechasim Aleim, you don't see them. The water level of the river covers these protruding rocks, but their presence causes a whirlpool. Hasfinos Mizgagulish and Vitovos, boats end up sinking over there in these whirlpools. So the barrel wouldn't have made it this far. It would have sunk by between E Dekira and the Jewish city. It would have sunk by then. Upshuri, Rashi says, Hafshorois Shlogim Hanikvim Eitzel Hanor V'kovu V'kaimi. He's describing melting snow that is present near the river, and it is kovu V'kaimi. It's gathered and stagnant. V'imtovo Hachovis Shom Tamod Shein Hanor Molicha. If the barrel would have encountered the melting snows, it would have stopped there. At that point, you don't have flowing water. The barrel would have stopped at that point. So that, yes, in general, Rove versus Karov, the Rove is the determining factor. But in the case of the barrel of wine found opposite Jewish city, it couldn't have come from upstream from where there is a majority of idol worshippers. It wouldn't have come from Ihi Dekira. We continue now in the Gemara text. Umor Sovar Shmuel, who argues with Rav and says that even opposite Jewish city wine is deemed unkosher. Ah, what about the physical factors we just described? Harifo dinara nokat ve'asoidi. The current, the harifo is the swiftness of current, caught hold of the barrel and enabled it to overcome the akuli upshuri. And therefore you still have to consider it having come from Ihi Dekira. Next issue. Ahu chatzva dechamra dishtakach bepardei sedorla, barrel of wine found in a vineyard of young vines, orla, vines within their first 3 years. Shaya Ravina. And Ravina said the wine in the barrel is kosher. In other words, it's not associated with the place in which it was found, that the wine in the barrel is not from grapes from these orla vines. Lemo mishum desover la laha de Rebbe Hanina. Should we say that Ravino's ruling is based on his acceptance of Rebbe Hanina, namely, you follow the Rove. The Rove vines are not orla. So it came from grapes outside and not from grapes in the immediate proximity. That would sound like a Rebbe Hanina approach. The Gemara says, no, shiny hasam, this case is different. The what's the possibility here? You've got a barrel of wine in an orla vineyard. In this case, you don't have a korov factor. The e migniv minah, the only reason, let us say, to prohibit the wine is to suggest that the wine was produced from grapes in this orla vineyard. And it's essentially, any upstanding citizen wouldn't have made wine from orla grapes. A thief may have done so. And the thief, if he had done so, he wouldn't have hidden the barrel on location. The imigniv minah, had the wine in the barrel been stolen from stolen wine produced from, namely from grapes, from the orla vineyard, atznui begave lo mitzni, he wouldn't have hidden it on location, right there in the place from which he stole the grapes. So that you've got a barrel of, we'll say, of stolen wine. Where did it come from? It came from outside. You don't, as we said, we don't have a koro factor. The proximity factor doesn't even get started in this case. Bahani mili chamra, this ruling of heter applies to wine. Aval invi mitzni, but if it were a, let's say, barrel full of grapes, then he may very well have hidden the grapes on location, and they're orla grapes. Rashi explains further. Rashi that we'll look at together, five lines from the bottom. Atznui begave lo mitzni, the whole Dibur Masel is e gonav minei atznui begave lo mitzni, ein derech ganovim latznia hayayin b'mokum shiganvuhu misham. It's not the way of thieves to hide the wine in the very vineyard of having taken grapes and made them into wine right there. Mishum de Monsieur Shema Yinsu Dore Chanovim. In order to make wine from stolen grapes, you have to trample on the grapes. So he would have had to trample on the grapes right there where in the vineyard that's not his, made from that wine, and then put it in, stored it in the barrel. He would have been found in the meantime. He would be afraid to be caught trampling the grapes. So that the explanation of the Gemara that the thief wouldn't hide it on location is because he made it into wine, and there was that fear of his being caught. But if it's a question of stealing grapes and quickly shoving them into the barrel and hiding the barrel in that vineyard, that he may very well have done. And the grapes found in a Pardes d'Arla would have, in fact, be forbidden. Next case, Hano Ziki de Chamra de Shtakhon Be Kufoi. Ziki are flasks holding wine, found amongst vines in a Jewish-owned vineyard. Rashi says, Be Kufoi Tmunim Ben Gifanim Shebekeren Vishal Yisrael. In Tosfos we'll see a different explanation as to what Be Kufoi refers to, but according to Rashi, it's a reference to vines in a vineyard owned by a Jew. So there were some flasks of wine found there. Sharinu Rava. Rava said, they're mutter. Well, it seems that Rava is basing his conclusion on proximity found in Jewish vineyard. So you don't have any chashash of it coming from Orla. Lema lo savar lo de Rabbi Chanina. Should we conclude that Rava does not hold from Rabbi Chanina? He doesn't say follow the majority. If you were to follow the majority, so you've got unkosher wine. Majority of the of wine comes from idol worshippers, and yet Rava is saying the wine is mutter. It was found in a Jewish location. The Gemara says, no, you can't conclude from here that Rava does not hold by Rabbi Chanina, because in fact over here Rava's allowance was based on a rove factor. Shiny Hassan, this case is different insofar as it's not a case of straightforward proximity, but rather the ruba. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Chofta Omid Beis, the majority of the, literally speaking, the wine pourers, the ones that pour wine. These are people that they produce wine. They store their wine in barrels, and when people come to buy wine, it's poured from the barrel into their flasks. The majority of the shvuchoi, of these wine pourers, as we said, let's assume, associate them with wine producers, and in this case, were Jewish. Vahani mili baravravi, the kula of Rava, the ruling of Rava, is assuming that the found flasks, the ziki, the chama that were found, were large ones. Aval zutri, if they are small flasks, Amor me'ovre drachim nafel. There's room to rule stringently, but once again, it seems to me there's a rove factor. That in this case of small flasks, they may have come from the world at large, the ruba di alma. In the case of large flasks, they wouldn't have come from travelers. They would have come from, say, locals. Large flasks, that you don't find large flasks carried by travelers. But small ones, you do. If the small flasks were found along with large flasks, then Amor Be'avruri Have Manchi. Let's take a look at the Rashi, third line from the top. If you found, along with the found small flasks, large ones, Afaktanim Mutorin, the small ones will be allowed also. Deberavavi Lavur Chayodover Dochim. Large flasks are not common to be found upon, to have been carried by travelers traveling long distances. Elokulu Milotche Yayan Shamadina Zuninu, the Israel Hain, the majority, they're all from the local wine producers, and they are Jewish. Let's read that again. Elokulu Milotche Yayan Shamadina Zuninu, the Israel Hain, Haktanim. She'ein derech lelokeach yayin lahaviyam. It's not the It's not the the way of people who purchase wine to travel long distances. So what are the small what are the small flasks doing here with the large ones? If you're saying they did not come from long range travelers. Amor ba'avuri havamanchi lahashvois masa chamor. They're what we call their say balancing devices. When you load stuff on a load upon a donkey. Kishishtei nodo ze godol mize ma'at umach ben amas litzad echod. Two, let's say, large flasks. But one is a little heavier than the other. So it's weighing down on one side a little more than on the other. Manichim od node cotton etzlo lashes amasa. The practice is to add another small flask to the lesser of the two to equal the load, to equal the balance. So that as far as the last issue is concerned, that Rava's ruling concerning the Ziki de Chamra is found in a Jewish locale is not a function of Rava disavowing Rebbe Chanina, but rather his heter was based on the fact that the entire area, the shluchoi, the wine producers, were Jewish, and the heter of Rava was limited to large flasks. But if you have a case of exclusively small flasks that were found, then you have to consider their having come from Ruba the Alma. At this point, we turn back to the Tosfos. We're turning back to the Tosfos that are relevant to Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis. Tosfos Dibur Maschil Chutz L'Chamishim Amot. This once again referring to the Tosfos at the top of Chof Gimel Amud Beis. This refers to the Gemara two lines from the top. We said that if you find the nipol chutz chamishim amo, hare hu shomotso, then you keep it. Before we continue with the Tosfos, we glance at our tamsis, or our taktzir, the summation of the Tosfos. We've written here, afilu lemad omar ein hoychin b'momen achar aroiv, even according to the opinion. And there's a discussion in various places in the Shas, you find this in Bava Kamma, regarding deciding a disagreement concerning money matters. Do you follow the majority or not? There is an opinion that says you will not decide the controversy based on a claim of majority. Hani mili, this point of ein hoychid b'momen acharov, that is b'mokoyim sheha acher muchsok. That's when the other party is in possession of the item in question, in possession of the money, or as I say, the item. So that if you have two parties arguing with one another, one basing his claim on majority, the other basing his claim on I'm in possession of it, there is an opinion that says that the claim of majority on my side does not hold. That's ein hulchid b'momen acharov. That is true, but that's limited to a case where there's an opposing party that is in possession of what you want. Avolimein acher muchsok. But if you have a particular claim to an item and it's not in opposition to someone that is in possession, kagon hocha b'mitzias agoizel chutz l'chamishim, like our case over here of the finding of a bird outside of 50 amas from the coop. We follow the majority, Bosaruba di Amo, that the bird came from the world at large. And therefore, the one that found it can keep it. So even though we have a ruling, namely, you found it, you keep it, based on your reliance upon the bird not having come from the coop in the vicinity, since the coop in the vicinity is more than 50 amas away, we entitle you to maintain possession of that which you found based on a rove, namely, that the bird came from the world at large. Now the Tosfos. Chutz l'chamishim amo harei u'shamotso. Why is the finder allowed to keep it? De'azlinon bosaruba di'almo. We follow the majority of birds coming from the world at large. And even according to the opinion that says that you do not decide matters of financial doubt based on majority, that's when the opposing party is in possession of the item and you are trying to extract it based on your claim of majority. But in our case, with the found bird, where there's no one currently in possession of the bird that is opposing you that found it, azlinon bosaruba, we decide ownership based on the rove factor. V'im toimar b'perek elimitzias l'rabon under Shimon ben Elazar di'amri. In the second perek of Bavmitzia, according to the opinion of the Rabbonan that argue with Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that say, the Amri, afilu b'ir sheruba kusen, chayov lahachris, bedover sheyesh bo simen, that even in a city that whose majority population are idolatrous, and you find an item sheyesh bo simen that has an identification mark on it, you, the finder, cannot keep it. You have to announce that you found the item in the hopes that the Jewish owner will provide the necessary identification mark. Why is it that we don't entitle you to keep it based on the majority? After all, you found an item. There isn't anyone that's currently in possession of it that's opposing you. And so according to what Tosfos said just before, that when it's when you are dealing with a non-chazoka de mamoino, you can keep it. So why, according to the Rabbonan there in Bava Metzia, you've got a city that's majority idolatrous, why do you have to announce the finding of it? Why can't you just keep the lost item, that item that happens to have an identification mark on it? V'yesh lomar, so Tosfos answers that there's one thing called letter of the law, and that according to our principle, in fact, you might be allowed to keep it. However, detakonas chachomim hi, we're dealing here with a rabbinic enactment. Kedei lekayim mitzvus hashavas aveda. Kevon de yochol esbar al yedei achroza im hi shel Yisrael. Since there is the possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah of returning a lost item to a Jewish owner through the announcement of the loss and the subsequent providing of the identification mark, and if the Jewish owner comes and provides the necessary simen, you, the finder, would give it to him, thereby fulfilling the mitzvah. So since there's a possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah, we allow that to override the letter of the law, that when there's no chazok de mamona, we would simply follow the rove. V'Yisrael nami lo miyayesh. And another factor here is that the Jewish owner of the lost item, he doesn't give up hope. Demasik adaite dilma mashkech Yisrael viachris, because it occurs to them maybe a Jew found the item and he will announce it. So since the original owner also doesn't give up hope, there's all the more reason and imperative for the rabbinic enactment of insisting on hachroza under those circumstances. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschil Rov. This relates to the Gemara, six lines from the top. Rov v'korov haloch achar harov. Naturally, we saw Rabbi Chanina with the principle that he taught that kept us for the balance of the Gemara section of the Shir Tildav Chov Dalid, Chov Dalid Beis, that when you have Rov versus Korov, you resolve the doubt based on the majority. V'im Tomar, my Komash Molon, what does Rabbi Chanina, who is an Amora, what is he revealing to us that we don't already know? Mas Nisahi. There's a Tanaic source, the source involving the nine stores selling kosher meat, Teisha Chanios Kulan Mocheres Boser Shchuta, V'achas, and a tenth store, named one store, that's Mocheres Boser Nevela, and in that source, we're told and if you're dealing with meat found in the street, you follow the majority. Mashma filu nimtza karov lechanus hamocheres nevela. The source implies that we follow the majority against the proximity factor. Namely, if the majority of stores is selling kosher meat, even if the found meat found in the street happens to be closer to the Nevela store, the meat's kosher. So from there you see Rov versus Korov, follow the Rov. That's a Tanaic source. What do I need Rabbi Chanina for? V'tireitz ri bar Mordechai, de'i mimas nisa, had we been left alone with the Tanaic source and not have Rabbi Chanina, have amina, Kagain de ein dalsus medina neulois diko tre ruby. I would have thought that the whole heter of the meat is because you have an overriding factor of two roves. But in a simple rove versus korov, I wouldn't follow the rove. Komashman Rabbi Chanina da filu dalsus medina neulois de leko elo chad ruba. Rabbi Chanina tells us that even where the Dalsus Medina are closed, and I cannot take advantage of the rove outside the Medina, rove kosher outside the Medina, I only have one rove, namely the majority of stores to rely on, that is enough. So I need Rabbi Chanina. V'Rabbi Zera deporach le besomuch. Rabbi Zera, we see in our Gemara eight lines from the top. He asks on Rabbi Chanina from a posuk indicating that we should follow the korov posuk from the Egla Rufa. Even though afagav the Rabbi Zera nami is le lekamon afilu dalsus medina neulos. Even though Rabbi Zera on daf chof dalid omen aleph, 13 lines from the top, says that we will rely on a rove even when the Dalsus Medina Medus, which means, as we already discussed in the past, in today's shir, that Dalsus Medina Medus indicates to us that it means you only have one rove to rely on, and we will rely on the rove. So what do we see with regard to Rabbi Zera? He actually holds like Rabbi Chanina. So isn't it maybe a little odd that here Rabbi Zera is asking on Rabbi Chanina? No problem. Hainu boser deshoni lei, the kibla me Rabbi Chanina. That we see on Chof Dalid, that Rabbi Zera says, even Dalsus Medina Nulos, we rely on the road. That's after Rabbi Chanina answered Rabbi Zera's question. In other words, the Gemara answered, in the name of Rabbi Chanina, the question that Rabbi Zera had asked, and Rabbi Zera accepted that answer. we saw in the Gemara, the question that he raised was from the pasuk of Egla Rufo Ira Kroiva Ela Cholol, and the Gemara basically answered there's no rove factor in that case, the case of the pasuk. But if you have rove going up against Korov, Rabbi Zera acknowledges that you will follow the rove like Rabbi Hanina. So up till now, we saw the Rebar Mordechai explain his understanding of the Brisa of the Teisha Chanuyos. However, V'ein Nira L'Ritzba. The Ritzba, you'll see, doesn't hold by the Rebar Mordechai's Hesper. The Im Kain my Poruch Le Mikra. Tikshi Leia Masnisa, the Teisha Chanuyos. And we'll go over this. The Im Kain, if the Re Bar Mordechai, if his understanding, as we said, that the case of Teisha Chanuyos, where the involves a case of Bosar found Koroiv le Chanus Hamacheres Nevela, and the reason that we're matir is because there were two rov. That's what the Re Bar Mordechai had explained in what my understanding would have been concerning that source, and comes along Rabbi Hanina to tell me that one rov is enough. If all that is true, so we go back to our Tosis that we read quickly, the Im Kain, if all that is true, my Porich Le Mikra. The Tosis is focusing on Rabbi Zera. What is Rabbi Zera doing asking on Rabbi Hanina from the Pasuk of Egla Rufo Ira Vohoyo Ira Kreva? From there, we follow the Korov. Tikshi lei amasniso de teisha chanuyos. Rabbi Zera should have raised his question, should have been bothered by his question on the braisa of teisha chanuyos, where there we follow the rov. Rabbi Zera's question had been from the Pasuk of Egla Rufa, where we follow the Korov. He should have raised his question. Here you see in the Pasuk, we follow the Korov. How is it that in the Brisa of Teisha Chanuyos, you follow the Rov? To reiterate, if we're going to accept the Rebar Mordechai's explanation of the Brisa, then Rabbi Zera should have focused his question from Egla Arufa on the case of Teisha Chanuyos. According to the Re Bar Mordechai, the case of Teisha Chanuyos says we're going to follow the Rov, even if the Boser Nevela is found closest to the Nevela shot. Let me say that again. According to the Rebar Mordechai, the Brisa is telling me that we're going to matir the meat because of rove kosher stores, even in a case where the meat is found closest to the Nevela shot. Ah, Rabbi Zera at that point should have said, but the Pasuk says you follow Karoiv, and the meat should be prohibited. We have a bracketed section in our markings, in our Tosfos. Basically, the main point has been stated. The main problem has been stated. And you'll see on the first wide line, Nira Lari, he gives an alternative explanation to the Brisa, alternative to Rebar Mordechai. In the brackets, the Tosfos says, even if if you try to say that the heter of the meat there is because the Danses Medina are open, they're not locked in, and then I've got two roves, and then I understand, well, when you got two roves, there you'll follow the rove, but in general, you'd go like the posik, you follow korov. That wouldn't be a way of deflecting the question. Har kaimo deboin on tre ruby, the reason for suggesting that you need two roves, eino elo midarabona. That's a rabbinic consideration. Mishum gzeira gedomar b'sei perakama deksubas. We don't have to get into that right now for our understanding of Tosfos at hand. It's enough to say that the idea of requiring two roves is strictly rabbinic. But letter of the law, one rove is enough. Wow. According to the source with the Teisha Chanuyos, then, really one rove is enough, even in a case when the meat is closest to the Nevela shop. How can that be? The Pasuk says you follow Korov. So the question then is, Rabbi Zero should have raised his question on the Braisa, and why did he focus only on Rabbi Chanina? V'nira l'ri. De'i mimas nisin ha'v'amina benimtsa be'emtsa. As far as the case of Teisha Chanuyos, the Pasuk would not have posed a question. In the case of Teisha Chanuyos, where the meat is found in the middle, it's not korov to the Nevela shop. If it's not korov to the Nevela shop, it's in the middle, so you decide the kashrus of the meat based on the rove. If the meat would have in fact been korov to the Nevela shop, so as far as the Braisa is concerned, I would have followed korov. It's only against Rabbi Chanina that says you follow the rove all the time, even in a case where the rove is opposed by korov. On that, Rabbi Zero says we have a question. The pasuk seems to indicate otherwise. And of course, the Gemara answered that as far as the case of the pasuk is concerned, there isn't any rove opposing the korov, as the Gemara answered. The oid nira l'ri. Now the Rin elaborates on how to understand Rabbi Chanina, how far Rabbi Chanina goes. The Rabbi Chanina also lashminen. Rabbi Chanina is telling us you follow the rove. The afilu bekurva de muchach aslinon basa ruba. This concept of kurva de muchach we're going to see repeated a number of times in the upcoming Tisrasim. Even in a case where the proximity seems to be very convincing, muchach means obvious, or as I say, very convincing, Rabbi Chanina tells us, "Tazlinon bosa ruba," follow the rove. The rove will be the deciding factor. V'chein mashma, and v'chein mashma besomuch, and likewise, it's mashma from the Gemara on Chof Dalet Omid Aleph, 17 lines from the top. It is mashma that this is the chiddush of Rabbi Chanina, that you follow the rove even in the face of ruba, even in the case of kurva de muchach. Where is that mashma? Gabi chovis, a barrel of wine shetzofa benor, that was found floating in the river, and in that sugya. And if you recall earlier, we said we had to move on to Dav Chof Dalet in order to appreciate this material in the Tosfos in over here, Chof Gimel Amud Beis. What happened in the Gemara there in the floating barrel? The boy Lameimar, the Gemara had this thought. At this point, I want you to take note of a long marking. Four lines are dedicated to develop this point. It's really an understanding of the Havamina of the Gemara on Chof Dalet Amud Aleph, where the thinking was to say that in the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, that Rav would take a position unlike that of Rabbi Chanina, that the where the Gemara had said, let me read the last three words again. The boy lememar derav, skipping the brackets for a moment, lesle de Rebbe Chanina. Again, we're analyzing a havamina. The Gemara there wanted to say that Rav does not hold like Rebbe Chanina. Rebbe Chanina had said, as we know very well, you follow the Rav. Let's read that line again with the brackets. The boy lememar derav. The Omar Keneged Ir Shirubo Yisrael Muteres. Rav said, if you find the barrel in the river, opposite a city that's majority Jewish, the wine is mutter because, well, the thinking was, again, I emphasize Havamina, the thinking was because you follow Korov. And that would be unlike Rebbe Chanina, who follows the majority, and the majority of the wine would be associated with idol worshippers. Vihechi Misukma. How can you set things up to suggest that Rav would not be like Rebbe Chanina? Toha mashma, when Rav said his din that the wine is mutter when it's opposite a city of Rov Yisrael, it's mashma de muteres, afilu nimtzei somuch lebayis nochri. Even if the wine is in the barrel, is found opposite an idolatrous house, the wine is mutter v'zel mitam the ozil bosa rov o'ir Yisrael lucha Rebbe Chanina. The reason for being matir then would be because the majority of the city happens to be Jewish and that's like Rebbe Chanina. Then how can you suggest that Rav doesn't hold by Rebbe Chanina? Elavadai legabi kurva de beso shel nochri. The phenomenon of wine in a barrel opposite an idolatrous house, have a kurva de lo muchach. It's an unconvincing proximity for forbidding the wine. Why is that an unconvincing factor? Kevon shedorim rov Yisrael boiso ir. Since the majority of people in that city are Jewish, v'rav also. Rav ozil boser ruba hecha de akurva lo mucha. Rav will concede that you follow the majority when it's up against an issue of proximity that's not convincing. The Girsa and the Rashash and the Paras Yosef say the next three words we will delay for a little bit later. Avol oisa ir keneged Ihi dekira, have a kurva de muchach, in a case of wine barrel found opposite I dekira, an idolatrous city, that's kurva de muchach. That's a clear case of clear basis for prohibiting the wine. Ulekach ozil basra, and therefore Rav will follow that and in a case like that he will prohibit the wine and here the Tosfos adds the words udelo k'Rebbe Chanina and not like Rebbe Chanina, namely that as far as Rebbe Chanina is concerned, even in a case of kurva de muchach, we would follow the majority. V'chol halacha tisyashev kamo shafarish. So it's at that point that we say in the Havamina that Rav would not be like Rebbe Chanina, namely in a case where the proximity is convincing, then we would rule based on proximity against a majority. And on that point, the Gemara was saying that Rebbe Chanina himself would disagree with that method of concluding, and rather rely on the Rov. Now, specific to the case of the wine, that might not make a difference, but in many other cases, that would make a difference, whether you'll allow the Rov to overrule Kurva de Muchach, or Kurva de Muchach will overrule the Rov. Just to repeat, in the Havamin of the Gemara, Rav was holding that a kurva, the muchach, would be capable of overruling a rov. Ulahachi lo maisi bekule gemara de Rebbe Chanina, ela lekamon gabi chatzva dishtakach bepardesa shel orla. And with this understanding, the Re's understanding of Rebbe Chanina, we understand why in all of the Gemara, Rebbe Chanina was, we'll say, was factored into the discussion later on Daf Chof Dalet Amud Aleph, 8 lines from the bottom, the case of the barrel of wine that was found the Pardesa Sha'orla in an Orla vineyard. And we saw in the Gemara that it was ruled mutter. The kurva de muchachu shenimsa bebardesa de orla gufei. And the heter could be based only on Rebbe Chanina, namely the rove, because otherwise you're up against a case of kurva de muchach, namely the proximity of barrel in an orla vineyard. That's a very convincing case of proximity. And only according to Rabbi Chanina, that says you follow the rov even against kurva de muchach, could you possibly be matir the wine. And of course that was the in the Gemara there on Chof Dalet Amud Aleph, 8 lines from the bottom, the thinking had been that the that Ravino's heter was based on his holding like Rabbi Chanina. The Gemara answered that no, it's not, his heter isn't based on that, but rather it's because of the, we'll call the Ganav factor. He would never have hid the barrel over there in the Orla vineyard. We continue with the Tosis with Parakama de Beitza. In the first parak of Maseches Beitza, Maisi Le Nami, Rabbi Chanina is introduced over there, Gabi Hadisnan, regarding a case involving the general topic of Mukta, where a person had set aside for Yom Tov use birds of, it says Zimein Shorin. It means he set aside or he identified black birds in a we're going to refer to a two-story bird coop. He dedicated or he identified, designated the black birds, and umotza levonim or levonim motza shorim, or he had dedicated or designated white birds to for Yom Tov use, and in their place he found black birds. And the ruling of the Mishnah there in Beitza is asurim, the birds are prohibited. In Forge Gemara, the Gemara elaborates, it explains kigon shezimein shchorin ulevonim umotza shchorim b'mokum levonim levonim b'mokum shchorim. What was the Mishnah really describing? The owner had actually designated both kinds of birds, black birds and white birds. The black birds, let's just say, were on the top floor of the bird coop, on the second floor, and the white birds were on the first floor of the bird coop. And when Yom Tov came, he found them switched around, whereas before Yom Tov the black birds were on the top. On Yom Tov day, black birds on the bottom and white birds on the top. Mahu detema, and bear in mind that the Mishnah ruled that the birds are prohibited. Mahu detema, one might have thought, inu ninu visapuchi isapich, those are all the same birds that he had designated from before Yom Tov, so as to avoid them becoming mukse, and they should be mutter. Now, by describing that, we're saying korov, you follow the proximity. Blackbirds yesterday upstairs, they switched around to be downstairs. Whitebirds yesterday downstairs are now switched around. They flew upstairs. It's all within the immediate proximity. Komash Malon, the Mishnah tells us, "Dahanach azul li'alma, v'hani achrini ninu ume alma osu." The original birds that the owner designated actually flew away, and the birds that he finds today on Yom Tov itself are other birds that came from the world at large that he did not designate. He didn't designate them, and therefore they're muktza. That's why the Mishnah there rules they're prohibited. Umasik alah, and therein Beitza, the Gemara continues suggesting, lemo mesai le Rabbi Chanina. Shall we say that that Mishnah supports Rabbi Chanina, that when you have rov versus korov, you follow the rov? And that's Rabbi Chanina's point. And in that Mishnah, you see, you follow the rov in the sense that the birds are prohibited. So in the Gemara's thinking in Maseches Beitza, there seems to be a support to Rabbi Chanina for some kurva de muchachu, and that's a case involving following the rov in the face of a very convincing proximity factor. The black and white birds were there before Yavdav, and it would seem convincing that those are the birds. And still, the Mishnah rules that they're usher. That would show us that we, in the Gemara's thinking there, Masechas Beitza, that the understanding of Rabbi Chanina is that you follow rov even against kurva de muchach, which was, of course, that was the Ri's explanation of Rabbi Chanina. We continue with the next thesis, Dibur HaMaschil, Mosiv. This relates to the Gemara 8 lines from the top, where we saw Rabbi Zeira ask his question on Rabbi Chanina, Mosiv Rabbi Zeira, Voyo Yira Kreva, My Lav, the Iko Achriti, the Nefisha Mina. The Pasuk describes the city closest to the corpse. Brings the Egla Rufa. Is that not so? Even though there's another city that's greater in size, and that would be a Kashan Rabbi Chanina. Amasniso de Tesha Chanuyos Nami Have Le Lakshuye. This is a topic that we saw discussed earlier. The issue of Rabbi Zeira raising his question against the source of Teisha Chanuyos. In that source, we said the meat was kosher. We followed the rov. The posuk would indicate follow korov. Elo amasnisa leko. I'm sorry. Elo amasnisa iko lishnuye bidaleko. As far as that kasha, the kasha of Rabbi Zeira's posuk against the source, there you could easily answer. Like the Gemara answered over here 10 lines from the top, namely, that in the case of the Pasuk, we're following Korov because there is no larger city in the vicinity. But if there was a rov factor, we would follow the rov. That in general, we would follow the rov, as the Brisa indicates, and as far as the Pasuk is concerned, there is no larger city. And at that point, the Sulekolakshuye Nazel Bosaruba the Alma. At that point, the Gemara would not have gone on to ask like it in fact does. Why not follow the Ruba the Alma? The Lagabi Ruba the Alma have a Kurvas zuhoir kurva de muchach. Namely, true that in the Brisa we see that we follow the rov, and as far as the posuk is concerned, we would have answered there isn't any larger, closer, larger city. Any city that's larger than the closer of the cities. And as far as, well, why not follow Ruba di Alma, and the city that is in fact closest would not bring the Egla Rufa. Nevertheless, we would have said that the issue of proximity of city is a kurva de muchach situation. And in a kurva de muchach situation, as we saw in the previous tesis, as the Ri explained, you would not follow the rov. And Ruba di Alma wouldn't supersede Kurva de Muchach. That's all fine and good concerning the Braisa. Avola Rebbe Chanina. The Afila be Kurva de Muchach Aloch Achara Roiv. Porech Shapir. But according to Rabbi Chanina, that says you always follow the Rov, even against Kurva de Muchach, the Gemara's Kasha from the Pasuk is still a Kasha. The Chinami Mishaninon Bidaleka, even if you say as far as the Pasuk is concerned with the Eglah Rufa issue, that there is no larger city closer than the, in fact, closest city. Akati Tikshi, there's still room to ask Nazel Bosa Ruba di Alma. Why still require that city to bring Eglah Rufa when you would follow the majority of the world? And in fact, according to Rabbi Chanina, that's what he says. You follow the Rov, even against Kurva de Muchach. But that would appear to be against the Pasuk. Okay, hence we understand that the whole give and take of Rabbi Zeira was focused against Rabbi Chanina. Regarding that, the Gemara answered that the Ir HaKrova that's featured in the Pasuk was found is surrounded by mountains, and therefore there is no Ruba the Alma that's a competitive force. But as far as Rabbi Chanina is concerned, if there would be a Ruba factor against even a case of Kurva de Muchach, the Rov factor would overrule. We continue with the next Tosis, Dibur HaMaschil B'Daleka. This refers to the Gemara 10 lines from the top. The Gemara had said that there is no larger city that's closer than the closest city. And therefore, the Koro factor is going to Machai of that city to bring the Eglah Rufa, because there isn't any larger city there. Tema, there's room for asking a question, and this is a case where a question is raised, but Tosis won't respond to it. The Hocha Mashma, the Taimo de Yir HaKroiva Mevio Eglah Rufa. From this Gemara, it seems that the closest city brings the Eglah Rufa Mishum de Mitocha Kurva Muchach Shemisham Bo Ahore, because of its proximity. That's where the murderer came from, and that city needs to bring the Eglah Rufa. You say, so what's the problem with concluding that, namely that the chiyuv of Eglah Rufa is based on proximity, and because of proximity we conclude that the murderer must have come from that place? From where do you know that if a corpse was found near a city that does not have a court in it? Based on the Gzeiras HaKosuv, we know that you, when you measure to determine which city shall bring the Eglah Rufa, we say the closest city, provided that is a city that has a basin in it. If the closest city happens to have no basin, you continue the measuring until you get to a city that has a basin in it. V'amai? Why should that be? V'alo mitoch ha-kurva nireh she'me'oysa she'ein bo basin hoya. Because of proximity, it would appear that the murderer came from that place that does not have the Beis Din in it. So he Tosis leaves you with that, say with that point to ponder. When on the one hand, it would appear that the proximity establishes the origin of the murderer, And yet, from the din regarding a city with basin in it, it seems something else is the deciding factor. We continue with the next tesis, Dibur Hamaskil B'Yoshevis. The Gemara, 11 lines from the top, had established that the posuk that says Ira Krova brings the Egla Rufa, and we do not go Bosaruba the Alma, because the city that was closest to the corpse is sitting positioned, located, surrounded by mountains. V'im Toimar V'amai Itzterich Kro V'soif Perek Meruba. At the end of the seventh parak of Bava Kama, a posuk is cited from Dvorim, parak of Aleph, posuk Aleph, and there the posuk speaks about Eglor Ruva ki motzei cholov, and it goes on to say Noisein l'chol rishta. And from that posuk of Noisein l'chol rishta, the Ein Yushalayim mevio Eglor Rufa, we learn from that Xeris Hakosuv that Yushalayim, if it happens to be the closest city to the corpse, they would not bring the Egla Rufa, because Yerushalayim lo nishalka lishvatim, it wasn't l'rishta. L'rishta means an inheritance, but Yerushalayim was not divided amongst the tribes. It's not a an area that's part of the inheritance of the land of Israel. It's lo nishalka lishvatim. Why do you need a pasuk to exempt Yushalayim? V'yava gav d'ksiv Yushalayim horim soviv law. And even though there's a pasuk that describes Yushalayim as being surrounded by mountains, the fact that it's surrounded by mountains does not isolate Yushalayim. Mikol mokim kol Yisrael hayu boyin l'regel. When the holidays came, thrice annual pilgrimage, all of Yisrael would come for Aliyas Regel. V'gam b'shaya ma'isa shana lo v'yador nedar mudavus. And during the rest of the year, many, many people came to bring their voluntary sacrifices, the various vows and dedications. V'gam u'mosa olam hayu boyin sham b'schora shekruya recheles amim. Jerusalem was a place that even foreigners came. Nation from the general Goyish population came for business purposes. So the Yerushalayim is being described as essentially Ruba the Alma. It represents a place in which masses came from all over, and from that, because of that, say description, that should be the reason that Yushalayim doesn't bring Egla Rufa. What do you need a pasuk to exempt Yushalayim? V'yesh lomar, there are two approaches. Number one, shoyim akoymais shelo hayu regilim lovo rak b'nei Yushalayim. There were parts of Yushalayim that were not frequented by the masses, that only the local folks frequented. And being that's the case, we can't describe Yerushalayim as Ruba the Alma. And if you want to exempt Yerushalayim, you'll need to rely on the pasuk Inami. Bimei Chizkiya shekol Yisrael hoyu sham v'lo hoyu boyin l'schora. Another situation might be in the time of Chizkiya Melech, when the entire population of Israel was in Jerusalem, outsiders didn't come for business purposes. In periods like that, you would need the pasuk to exclude Yerushalayim from Egla Arufa. We continue with the next toisus, Dibur Maschil Nipol. This refers to the Gemara, 12 lines from the top. The Mishnah, Nipol Hanimtsa B'Soy Chamishim Amo, it's a quote from our Mishnah. It's not the Mishnah obviously appeared on the top of of the Omid, but here we were asking a kasha on Rabbi Hanina from our Mishnah, from Nipo Hanimsa B'Sir Hamishim Amo, and if it's within 50 amas of the bird coop, so that bird coop becomes the owner of that bird coop becomes the owner of that found bird. And the Gemara suggested, even if there happens to be another bird coop that is greater in size. So from that, we were expected to say, or conclude, you go Boser Korov. V'yamasniso d'teisha chanuyos lo motzi lemifrach. Once again, you can see how Tosis is so preoccupied with the brisa of the nine stores selling kosher meat. Here we have a Mishnah that seems to say you go Boser Korov. The brisa that featured the meat halacha was a brisa that said you follow the rov. So he's just saying that you would not ask on that brisa with the Teisha Chanuyos from our Mishnah. Lo motzi lemifrach. The hacha, the case of the bird, the found bird, have a kurva de muchach. The bird found within 50 amas of a bird coop, that's a very convincing case of proximity that the found bird came from that bird coop. The larger bird coop in the Gemara's Kasha, havi chutz l'chamishim. That was outside, that was beyond the 50 amas. Uliel amrinon de kirsayu b'chamishim amamalion. We said earlier that birds achieve their fill within 50 amas. So as far as our Mishnah that says you go Boser Korov being a kasha on the brisa involving the meat where we go Boser Rov, you would not go Boser Rov unless you bring in, of course, Rabbi Chanina. You would not go Boser Rov in the face of a kurva demuchach. But Rabbi Chanina said that you go Boser Rov even in the face of kurva demuchach. There we have reason for asking on Rabbi Chanina from our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we see that you go Boser Korov and not Boser Rov, whereas Rabbi Chanina says you always go Boser Rov, even up against Kurva Demuchach. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibor Hamaskil Vidaleka. This refers to the Gemara, the 12 lines from the bottom. The Gemara had said that there's no larger bird coop in the vicinity. Lo motzi lemifrach denezo bosaru b'diamo. There isn't room for asking over here, follow the majority of the world. The Mairi Deleka Shum Shoivach Toich Shloishim Ris. Because we're talking about a case where there's no bird coop within the distance of 30 ris, which is 4 mil. And we were taught earlier that birds will not fly, they won't lunge forth in their first flight more than 30 ris. And since within the vicinity of, we'll say, the found bird in the case of our Mishnah, there is no bird coop within 30 ris, there's no reason, there's no basis for raising the question of Lezel Bosa Ruba the Alma. We continue with the next Tosfos, Dibor Masl V'i Deleko Achrini, referring to the Gemara 10 lines from the bottom. Just to repeat the review the point of the Gemara, after saying that regarding the bird found within 50 amos, Gemara said that it belongs to the Bala Shevach. There was no greater one in size that was closer. And then the Gemara said, well, according to the, you state the Sefer, and it said, the Mishnah said that Chutz Mechamishim Amo Harei Hu Shel Motso. If it's found outside of 50 Amos, then the finder can keep it. But if you explained the Mishnah as saying that a bird that was found within the 50 Amos belongs to the owner of the bird coop because there was no other bird coop around, there was no other Bedeleko, as the Gemara said, well then, if the bird is found more than 50 amos from a bird coop, but there's no other bird coop in the vicinity, of course it belongs to that bird coop. Why does the Mishnah say that it belongs to the owner, the finder, that is? So now Tosfos says, "Ve'i bedeleko achrini, vaday me'ahu nafal." If there's no other bird coop, then it certainly came from the one that happens to be more than 50 amos away. Why does it say Harehu shel motzo? De bishlamo I iko de nofish mine. Granted, if there happened to be another larger bird coop in the general vicinity, osi shapir de havi shel motzo, I could explain why the finder should keep the bird. Kagon de havi hahu de nofish shel hefker or shel kusim. I can explain that the other bird coop that was larger, but further away, belonged to idol worshippers, or was hefker was unowned. Aval hashta deleka. But now that you're telling me that the Mishnah is talking about a case where there is no other bird coop, and all you have a situation is a bird found more than 50 amas from the shovach, well, vaday me'ahu nafal. It certainly came from that bird coop. Why does the, and hence the question is, why does it say, if we're to accept that answer, Beleka, why does the Mishnah say that the finder can keep it? Why can the finder keep it? V'lo motzi lishnuye. And you cannot answer the reason that the finder can keep it, kagain, Deleka de nofish ela shavin. It's because there isn't a greater one in size, but they are equals. You have two bird coops that are equal in size, and you found a bird more than 50 amas from the closer of the two. Even so, we would ask the question, why does the finder keep it? Kevon shekoroiv lazeh, since it's closer to one of them. The hachi mashma, the mashmois of the Mishnah is the chutz lechamishim amo harehu shel moitzoi afalpi shekoroiv lazeh mizeh. That when you find a bird more than 50 amas from the nearest bird coop, you keep it, even though it happens to be closer to one than the other. Why should you be allowed to keep it? The Hotanan, we have learned, Motzoi Bein Shnei Shoivachim, a bird found between two coops, Karov Lozeh Shalo, the closer bird coop gets the bird, Tekashen Shovin, Azlinon Boser Karov. When they are equal in size, you would give the bird to the closer of them. And therefore, that could not be the explanation of why it is shalo, why the finder is able to keep it. And hence, I said, either way, if you're going to give the answer of there is no other bird coop, so then the question is, why should the finder keep it? And if you're going to say that it's talking about where there are two bird coops the bird found, of course, more than 50 amas from one of them, that's not going to be reason for keeping it. You still would give it to the closer of the two. And, of course, the Gemara gave the answer that it did. And we were talking, as we saw, we were talking about a case of Midoda, and outside of 50 amas, a bird would not waddle. Due to circumstances beyond our control, it appears that the shiur for the Tosis of Daf Chof Gimel will conclude at this point. In Mirz Hashem, the balance will be part of our next recording for the Tosis of Daf Chof Dalet. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.